Hello and welcome to DeVere Fair Stadium on the campus of Decatur Central High School in Southwest Indianapolis. My name is Lex Zorn and I'll be bringing you all the action as your fourth ranked and undefeated Plainfield Quakers challenge the arch rival Decatur Central Hawks in week 6 of the Indiana high school football season. Well, it's been a wild and crazy season for your Quakers with a lot of highs, lows, and down to the wire nerve-wracking finishes, but they keep finding ways to win, and they enter this game with a 5-0 record for the first time in 17 years, and ranked number 4 in the AP poll for Class 5A. Back in week 1, the Quakers went down 13-0 at Terre Haute South before coming back to lead 17-13 at the half and winning 32-13. Then in their home opener against Harrison in a rematch of last year's playoff opener, the Quakers went down 14-0 before coming back to win 15-14. Back on the road in week 3, Plainfield saved us from the usual tension, cruising to a comfortable 31-15 win and breaking a 5-game losing streak to the Pioneers at Mooresville. The Quakers then returned home for their only 2-game homestand of the regular season. In week 4, they were given a scare by recently improved Perry Meridian, but held on to a 21-20 win on a missed 30-yard field goal attempt on the Falcons' last possession. Finally, last week against Greenwood, the Quakers were given another scare, but this time pulled away to a more comfortable win. Greenwood scored first on a 59-yard touchdown rush by Jackson Hasek with 6:50 to go in the first quarter, and the two-point conversion failed, making it 6-0. The Quakers, however, quickly fired back with 2 touchdown rushes by superstar Luke Starnes, first from 30 yards with 4:07 left, and then from 45 yards with 2:14 left in the first quarter. The first two-point conversion failed, and the second by Marcos Rivera was good, giving Plainfield its first lead at 14-6. Greenwood, however, was unfazed as Brock Riddle threw 31 yards to Amari Middleton for a touchdown, and Riddle rushed in the two-point conversion, tying it at 14 with 9:51 remaining in the second quarter. Both teams failed to finish drives for the next several minutes until Starnes scored his third touchdown on a 1-yard rush with 18.6 seconds left in the quarter. Elijah Flowers made the two-point conversion, bringing us to the halftime score of 22-14. Greenwood got the ball first in the second half, and on their first play from scrimmage, Riddle rushed 77 yards for a touchdown, but the two-point conversion failed, so Plainfield retained the lead 22-20. It looked like we were headed for another tense fourth quarter, but then the game turned on one play on the Quakers' ensuing drive. On 4th and 10 at their own 33, Alex Holsklaw rushed 22 yards on a fake punt, leading to a 30-yard field goal by Leo Hayop with 8:02 to go in the third quarter. Then Greenwood turned it over on downs on their next two possessions, and Plainfield responded with touchdowns both times. A 7-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Brandon Henry with 1:23 left in the third quarter, and a 14-yard touchdown by Starnes, his fourth of the game, with 9:23 left in the fourth quarter. Both two-point conversion attempts failed, but the Quakers now had virtually clinched the game with a 3-possession lead, 37-20. On Greenwood's next drive, a bad snap and punt formation went out of the end zone for a safety with 7:32 left, making it 39-20, and with 3:40 left, Weston Weyrich scored the first varsity touchdown of his career on a 10-yard rush, and Hayop hit the only extra point attempt of the game, bringing us to our final score of 46-20 as the Quakers won their 8th consecutive game over the Woodmen. Tonight, Plainfield goes for 6-0 as they visit an extremely familiar opponent, the arch-rival Decatur Central Hawks, who tormented the Quakers for almost a full decade before the tables turned in a big way last year. After Plainfield beat Decatur Central in 2012, the Hawks responded by winning the next 13 games in the series, including 4 in the playoffs. But last year, the Quakers ended that streak with a 34-32 overtime win in the regular season, and then drove a dagger through the heart when the two teams met in the sectional championship game. Plainfield won 13-10 on a 19-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Noah Hesman with 1.3 seconds left. After going only 4-7 last year, breaking a streak of 8 consecutive winning seasons and 9 consecutive 500 or better seasons, Decatur Central has been up and down so far this year. They started off with a big 18-14 road win over Class 6A Columbus North, then came home for a 43-42 win over New Palestine, currently the 10th-ranked team in Class 4A. In week 3, however, the Hawks lost 31-15 to host Whiteland, then in week 4 lost 25-24 to visiting Martinsville, currently the 16th-ranked team in Class 4A. Finally, last week, Decatur Central got back on track with a 27-21 win at Mooresville. Now, so far this season, Plainfield has rushed 168 times and passed 109 times, a ratio of 1.54 to 1. Senior quarterback Hunter Newell has had a very quietly effective season, completing 62 of 108 passes, 57.4%, for 639 yards, 6 touchdowns, and best of all, no interceptions. His leading receiver is senior Caden Vanderbush with 16 receptions for 194 yards and 2 touchdowns, followed by junior Jameer Bowie with 16 receptions for 183 yards and 3 touchdowns, and senior Isaiah Miller with 16 receptions for 164 yards. On the ground, the Quakers are led by very possibly the team's MVP, sophomore Luke Starnes, who has rushed 104 times for 644 yards and 8 touchdowns. Senior Carter Ferguson has been a very good backup with 24 rushes for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns. Hunter Newell has rushed 25 times for 98 yards and a touchdown, and junior Weston Weyrich has rushed 10 times for 36 yards and a touchdown. Meanwhile, Decatur Central has rushed 161 times and passed 130, a ratio of 1.24 to 1. Sophomore Bo Polston, who was possibly the best freshman quarterback in the state last year, continues moving up the ladder. He's completed 61 of 120 passes, 50.8%, for 719 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. His leading receiver is senior Chris Richmond, who has 21 receptions for 398 yards and 4 touchdowns. He's followed by sophomore Pharrell Carter with 20 receptions for 163 yards. On the ground, the Hawks have a very good four-prong attack. Of junior Napo Dodo with 42 rushes for 397 yards and 3 touchdowns. Aforementioned quarterback Bo Polston, who's gone 51 for 192 and 3 touchdowns. Senior Casey Berry with 19 for 146. And Halbert Aguier, with 17 for 115. Head coach for Plainfield is Tyler Bless, who's 5-0 in his first season with the Quakers. Head coach for Decatur Central is Kyle Enright, who's 62-24 in his 8th season with the Hawks. He took the team to the Class 5A state championship game in 2018. Well, at this time, we'll take a short pause for a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the opening kickoff. Plainfield Decatur Central, arch rivalry coming at you live under the Friday Night Lights. Next. We would like to thank the sponsors who made the nice broadcast of Plainfield football on audiosportsonline.com possible. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gannell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Berberich, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design, and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Drucker Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D BBQ. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Southwest Indianapolis, we're just a few minutes away from kickoff, and we've got the marching band out on the field now. The teams have gone to the locker rooms for some final instructions from their coaches, and we've got the flags and the color guard, and looks like the whole crew of cheerleaders are here, and the Hawks enter through this inflatable tunnel in one of the corners of the end zone. Not quite the same as the inflatable helmet that Plainfield has, but still looks pretty cool. Still makes for a dramatic entrance. And right now here in DeVere Fair Stadium, it is 79 degrees. We had a high of 83 today here in Indianapolis. And so we've had really good weather in the 70s and 80s every game this year. So hopefully our good luck will continue. We're supposed to have a high of 79 next week for our game against Franklin, which will be at Plainfield. So hopefully we'll enter that game with a chance to go 7-0. We shall see, of course, but anyway, right now we've got fans still filing in. I don't have as good a look at the parking lot from my vantage point here as I do when I come to the Plainfield. But I do see fans still coming in through the gates here. And when I was last here 2 years ago, we had basically a full house at the Decatur Central side of the field, right around, I'd say, between 2,500 and 3,000. We have a great road crowd here. I'm actually in the visitor's press box, so I'm actually just there were only 8 rows here on the visiting bleachers, so I'm very close to the field, much closer than when I commentate at Plainfield. And looks like we've already filled up probably 2/3 or more of the visiting bleachers. I think the visiting bleachers hold about 500, and there's still a steady stream of Plainfield fans coming in. So I'm really hopeful we'll have a full house because of Plainfield's general loyalty from their fans, and then their 5-0 record, number 4 ranking, and then most of all, because this is Decatur Central, their arch rival, only 8 miles away. Decatur Central is Plainfield's second closest rival geographically, Mooresville being the first. Mooresville 6 miles away, Decatur Central 8 miles away, but we have a more dramatic history with the Hawks. This rivalry actually dates all the way back to 1941, the first year of the Mid-State Conference. It's interesting looking at the pattern of games. The two teams did play in 1941. Then they did not play the next 2 years, then they played again in 1944, and from there they played every year up until 1982. That's 39 years in a row. Then Decatur Central left the Mid-State Conference. The two teams did play in the playoffs in 1985 and 87, and then Decatur Central rejoined the Mid-State Conference in 2005, and the two teams have played every year since, including 4 more games in the playoffs, or 5 more in the playoffs, excuse me. Decatur Central leads the all-time series 38-27. That's overall, and then they lead all-time in the playoffs 6-1. Plainfield's only playoff win over Decatur Central coming in the sectional championship game last year. The series was very evenly matched for many years. In fact, the first time I ever commentated these two teams against each other 11 years ago back at Plainfield, a game that was finished on a Saturday, early Saturday afternoon because of lightning the night before. Plainfield, with that win, evened the series at 25-25. However, Decatur Central responded by winning the next 13 games in the series, and then Plainfield has won the last 2, trying to make it 3-0 tonight. So Decatur Central leads the all-time series 38-27. And Plainfield now just entered the field shortly after Decatur Central did. We've got, they've taken the clock off. They've got a really cool digital display on the scoreboard. Decatur Central has one of the best scoreboards that I have ever seen here in high school ball. I remember when the first major pro sports game I ever went to was the Cincinnati Reds game back in 1978. I was 7 years old. That was back when the Reds still had Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, the late Joe Morgan, and a lot of the star players from their 75 and 76 World Championship teams. And, I remember they had at the board, it was just, a black and white scoreboard, and they had like digital images of the players, and then they had this pair of hands that clapped, and I thought that was like super cool, and then they had like a few things like home run or we win. They had a few effects for that. I never would have guessed the kind of animation that we would be getting to, even accessible to high schools, in my lifetime, so. Yeah, my son Liam is here with me in the press box to my immediate right. He said it looks like Fortnite, so he plays the video game Fortnite quite frequently. And now Plainfield. Plainfield now taking some final instructions on the sidelines, as is Decatur Central. And waiting for the numbers to come back on the scoreboard here. 6:57 your time of day now. Typically, they start just about right on time. Well, it's interesting, the first 3 games of this season started later than the usual standard 7 o'clock. The opener at Terre Haute South started at 7:30. Our home opener against Harrison started at 8. Then the Mooresville game was scheduled to start at 7, but it ended up being backed up to about 7:20 or 7:25 because the Skydivers were late. And now the four captains coming out on the field for Plainfield, Caden Vanderbush, Hunter Newell, Alex Holslaw, and let's see, it looks like Kelvin Ohio, a senior offensive lineman. And for the they're going to do the coin toss now, and you know, I'm always hoping for Plainfield to get the ball first, you know, and to try to establish the early momentum, put the other team in the hole. But, you know, the important thing is just to, you know, always play your best no matter what the score, and create as many opportunities as you can for yourself. And Plainfield has done that this year. You know, they've, you know, they haven't had a perfect, they haven't always played perfectly, but, you know, what they remind me of is that IU 1987 national championship team. You know, Bob Knight had three national championships at IU, 76, 81, and 87. The 76 team is still the last undefeated team in major college basketball. The 81 team actually set the record for most losses by a national championship team with 9. It's broken by North Carolina State 2 years later. It's been broken a few times since then, actually, like Kansas, Villanova. I think a few other teams than that, but by the time the tournament started, they were, you know, rolling like an 18-wheel truck, and they easily won. I think all of their tournament games were double-digit wins, if I remember correctly. I remember they beat North Carolina 63-50. But then 87, they just had one nail biter after another. I mean, they just, like Coach Knight said, they just hung in there and found a way to win. So now Plainfield will receive the opening kickoff. We've got Jameer Bowie and Caden Vanderbush back deep receive. Vanderbush already with a 99-yard touchdown, 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown this year, in addition to 2 rushing touchdowns. The senior bound for Western Michigan University to join his brother Caden at the University of Iowa in major college ball, and it goes into the end zone for a touchback. So, Ashton Vogel, one of the best kickers in Indiana high school football right now. He's a junior for the Hawks. He might be the best kicker I've commentated for any school since the Hagee brothers. Not only is he 9 of 10 on extra points on the year, he's 8 of 10 on field goals with a long of 46. So, when you have a kicker who can kick field goals, you know, that consistently, that's a real, that's a real bonus there. So anyway, the Quakers now getting set to line up for the first offensive play. Opening kickoff goes into the end zone for a touchdown. I'm a lot closer to the field than usual. We'll see how that affects my view here. But so now we've got a handoff there to Luke Starnes, and he gets up for just a couple. Starnes having an outstanding sophomore season. He is a he's a star in the making. 8 touchdowns on the season, 4 last week. So I'm waiting to, okay, finally they got, okay, so they don't have the ball on or to go yet. So they got a little bit of catching up to do with the scoreboard there. So, and now the next play's whistled dead. Okay, it says second down, but it doesn't say how many to go. 9, okay. Thank you. They got Jeff Sherman, the Plainfield stat guy, here in the booth with me. He and my son and I are the only people here right now, so. But it's a false start, and it's that old, move it back 5 yards to the 16, so now the Quakers, so it's a, we've got 3 receivers, two receivers to the right, one to the left. Screen pass is complete, but he's hit almost immediately and brought down for a very short gain, maybe even a loss. So it's going to be a dreaded third and long to start the game for the Quakers. Jameer Bowie with the reception. So Hunter Newell having a very, very quietly effective season, completes his first pass, but not for much, only for 1 yard there. So now, it's a loss two. Okay, it's a third. Okay. So anyway, so now Newell drops back. He looks deep, throws over to Vanderbush, and it's through his hands. So three and out to start off the game for the Quakers. They will punt with 10:16 to go. Decatur Central already with an up-and-down season. They started off very promising with wins over Columbus North and New Palestine, jumped to number four in the polls, then had a couple of losses to Whiteland and Martinsville before rebounding last week with a solid victory over Mooresville. That moved them back into the rankings at number 10. So disappointing first drive for the Quakers now. So the punt, and it's a fair catch taken at the Decatur Central 46. So good field position for the Hawks up here. First drive, 10-12 to go. Disappointing first drive for the Quakers. Started off with a 1 yard rush by Starnes, then a false start penalty brought it back 5 yards. And then just didn't get anything going from there. So Decatur Central lines up Bo Polston, a sophomore, started last year as a freshman, showed a lot of promise. And now a rush up the middle. That was 35 there. So Halbert Aguirre, the ball carrier for the Hawks. Decatur Central, a very powerful rushing team. Give them credit for six there. Right now, it'll be all okay. My view will be okay in about 2 minutes right now. I got the sun directly in my eyes. So anyway, the Hawks line up now. Another running play. They got the first down and more past the 45 up to about the 44. So that was KC Berry there. And so the Hawks move the chains here with 9:29 to go and counting here in the first quarter, trying to establish some early momentum. So first and 10 at the Plainfield 43. Now Polson drops it back, throws deep. He's got a man open, but it is overthrown. The intended receiver there was Chris Richmond, a senior, pretty big college prospect. So second and 10 now for the Hawks at the Plainfield 43. Bo Polson torched it for 378 yards last year. In our regular season win, where we took an early 14-0 lead. They came back to take the lead, but we did come back and won the game in overtime. So now we've got two receivers to the right. And now handoff there, and he's up for about four. That was Napo Dodo. He is the leading rusher for the Quakers, averaging nearly 9 yards a carry. Give him credit for four on that one, bringing up a third and six. I assume Decatur Central likely would go for it on fourth down at this point, but we shall see. So now we've got two receivers out to the right. Dodo, the running back, slow snap, but Polson gets it. He throws deep again, and it is in double coverage and incomplete, so it'll bring up fourth and six. So Polson, both of his passes so far have gone deep. Good coverage there by the Quakers, so will they go for it? We shall see. Ball marks just inside the 48-24 to go here. Plainfield got the ball first, 3-0 on their first. Three and out, excuse me, on the first possession. Decatur Central has moved the chains once, but now they're in a 4th-and-6 hole. They're lining up to punt. Of course, they could fake it. Plainfield got an outstanding fake punt last year that was the turning point. Plainfield got an outstanding fake punt last week that was the turning point of the game and the big win over Greenwood. So the punt is up, and it bounces right around the 15. And it goes close to the end zone. They tried to down it. Did they get it down at the 1? Or did it was a tucky touchback? Okay. That was really close. You know, when I think about punting in this stadium, I think about 2 years ago when we were, I believe we were down 7-0. But anyway, we punted, and the ball was downed at the Decatur Central 1. And I thought, okay, good, we got him in a deep hole. And then on the first play of the ensuing drive, Caleb Hicks of Decatur Central took it in 99 yards for a touchdown, which, and to this day in 125 varsity games, that's the only 99-yard rush I've ever commentated. So now Plainfield, second chance on offense, still no score. 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, no running back. And now Newell takes it himself, but he's stuffed right around the line of scrimmage on his first rush of the game. Newell has had some good rushing moments on the season, especially in the Terre Haute South game, in which he gave us the go-ahead touchdown late in the first half that put us up for good. So 2nd and 10 now for the Quakers. So we've got, let's see, 3 receivers now to the right, 1 to the left. And now screen pass, it is incomplete. Miller had his hands on it and just didn't make the grip. So all of a sudden, you know, Plainfield for the second consecutive possession to start off the game. Now in a dreaded 3rd and long, you don't want to get in the habit of this. So now, same formation. Newell in shotgun takes it, drops back, got time, throws deep for Vanderbush. He's got it, and he could go all the way. 25, 20, yes, he did it. Oh, my God, boy, do we need that play. So, Caden Vanderbush, an 85-yard touchdown pass. I think that is a career long for him. He had a 99-yard touchdown kickoff return a couple weeks ago against Mooresville. That's his 3rd receiving touchdown of the season, showing why he's going to be a Division I-A player. And, boy, that's the kind of momentum building play that, you know, a game can turn on. Oh my God, what a trip. And the longest pass, that is the longest passing play of the year for the Quakers now, setting up to go for a rare 1-point conversion. They've only done 5 on the season, though they've made the ball. And the extra point is up, and it is good. So all of a sudden, when things were looking deep by the Quakers, they looked like they were on their way to their second 3 and outs to start off the game. They spit in the face of Decatur Central, take a 7-0 lead on a spectacular pass from Newell to Vanderbush. Oh my God, that was sensational, and they made it look easy. Now, you know, my son Liam, he always at the end of every game that I commentate, he always takes a picture of the scoreboard showing the final score and makes an Instagram story with it. And he's going to, I think he's really going to enjoy taking a picture of this scoreboard with the kind of cool graphics they have. By the way, that was Hayab on the extra point, but Grimes is doing the kickoff, and the kickoff goes. So they've done a touchback. I couldn't tell if it crossed the pylon or not. So Cameron Grimes does get a touchback here. So Decatur Central, they started their last drive on their own 46, now starting on their own 20, now in a 7-point hole. And, you know, it's amazing. Playing field in their first five plays have done virtually nothing on offense, but boy, did they turn the game on that play. And I'll tell you, it's comforting when you have that kind of big play potential, because that often can be the difference in a close game. So now for Decatur Central, we've got Kashmir Hicks, presumably Kayla's younger brother, lined up to the left, and Chris Richmond lined up to the right. Napo Dodo in the backfield, Bo Polston, the sophomore quarterback. He's going to be a very good one. There aren't many quarterbacks who start 4 years for the same team in varsity ball. I think going to build a lot of chemistry. He's showing a lot of promise. You know, he had an uneven freshman season, but, you know, he was a freshman, made freshman mistakes, but also showed tremendous potential. Like I said, 378 yards against us in the overtime loss last year. That's the most yards I ever, since I've been with Plainfield, the most yards I ever remember anybody throwing against us. So now Polson hands off to Dodo. He gets the hole, and he got close to the first down. So get about 8 on that one. Again, he averages close to 9 a carry on the season. Give him 8 on that one. And now they give it to him again, and he's got about 3, so it will be a first down. Alex Holstein on the tackle. He's the one who made that outstanding 22-yard rush on the fake punt when we were only up 22-20, and we ended up winning 46-20. Very key play to the win. So now Richmond lined up to the right, one receiver to the left. Holston under center now. He picks the handoff, rolls right, and he throws, but it's incomplete, too low. So we bring up second and ten for the Hawks. They have it at their own 31. .6:26 to go and counting here. Game 6 of 9 in the regular season. Hard to believe when this game is over, we will be 2/3 of the way done with the regular season. The playoffs will start for us 5 weeks from tonight. We're in a 14th sectional, so everybody gets a first down bye. Now we got a handoff over right on top of him, and we bring him down for a loss. Yes. All right. That was Barry. And we got him for, they gave him a better spot than I thought. Still about a 4-yard loss there. So we'll bring up, third down and 13 for the Hawks. So boy, that'd be great if we could get the ball, you know, hold him one more play, get him off the field here, get the ball back, make it a two possession lead here in the first quarter. And, so now Polson. And it is through incomplete. I couldn't tell who the intended receiver was, but that will be 4th and 13. So it looks like there will be a punt here. Polston incomplete on his first 4 passes. So things looking up for the Quakers now. 5:42 to go. I was nervous when we got our second 3rd and long, but anyway, now the play whistled dead. And I'll tell you, you know, I think for a lot of that 13-game winning streak that Decatur Central had against us, keep in mind, the very first game I ever commentated, the very first Plainfield Decatur Central game I ever commentated was back in 2012. That was the... I'll save the punt to his play. Now, Plainfield going for the block punt. But the punt goes to about the 32, right up to the 35, 40. knocked out a bouncer on the 42 or 43, so Plainfield will get a pretty good field position to start off. That was Starnes there on the punt return. But, you know, the first Plainfield-Decatur Central game I ever commentated was the one in 2012 where Plainfield won. It would be their last victory over Decatur Central for 10 years. In fact, 10 years and a day to be exact. And I think during a lot of those years, Decatur Central had really gotten into Plainfield's head and it just became a big psychological edge. And now I'm wondering if after the two wins last year, the opposite is starting to happen. But, you know, we'll see. So two receivers to the left, one to the right, a Newland shotgun. Hands off, and he's got a hole up the middle, up gets about 4 or 5 out of it. Luke Starnes again. So 5:20 to go in counting. Plainfield 7, Decatur Central 0. I believe this is the only top 10 matchup in Class 5A tonight. Plainfield ranked 4th, Decatur Central ranked 10th. Starnes gets credit for 3 there. Starnes already with 8 touchdowns on the season, 4 last week. The first 4 touchdown rushing game for Decatur Central and for Plainfield in 6 years. And now, pass is, did he get it? I couldn't tell from my vantage point. The intended receiver was Vanderbush. So they said no. I could not tell because I am very close to the ground here. So 3rd and 7 now. Last time we were on 3rd down, Newell went deep to Vanderbush for the touchdown. 4:53 to go now in the first quarter. Plainfield 7, Decatur Central 0. Plainfield going for its first 6-0 start in 17 years when they started off 11-0. And now they swarm and they got Newell for a huge sack. But he held onto the ball. He held on the ball, you know. About 3 guys just, you know, swarmed him. So it's okay. We still got the lead. We just, you know, defense just has to hold him and then get us the ball back. So now 4:24 to go and counting. Plainfield set to punt for the 2nd time in this game. There is an air conditioner here in the press box. Hopefully it's not interfering with the audio quality here. So now, good punt goes inside the 20, takes a Plainfield bounce, and they down it around the 16 or 17. So Decatur Central will start off their 3rd drive, the worst starting field position they have had today. So, Decatur Central takes over now, 4:01 to go, 7:20 your time of day. Plainfield, boy, it was a year ago tomorrow that they snapped that 13-game losing streak against Decatur Central. What an amazing turn of events it would be if they were to get 3 in a row against the Hawks tonight. So, one receiver deep side now. Hand off there, and he's up the middle for about 4 or 5. Casey Berry there. They'll bring up about 3:45 to go in county. They're marking him right at the 20. They gave Berry 3 there. Now, Folston throws, and it is incomplete miscommunication. I believe he was going for Braden LaFollette, but so Folston 0-for-5 to start off the game. So another 3rd and long for the Hawks, which is right where we want them. We get them off the field here. And then, you know, get a any kind of score, we'll have a 2-possession lead. So now we've got Richmond and Hicks and one other receiver to the left. Another receiver to the right. And now Folston takes it, rolls left. He's got time, and he's got a completion there past the 30 or so. So that was Dodo on the reception there. So that does move the ball 12 yards for the first down, giving Polson his first completion. So first and 10 Decatur Central at their own 32, 3:20 to go in the first quarter. They trail Plainfield 7-0. Pitch back now, and he's tackled at the 36 or 37. That was Albert Aguirre there on the rush for about 5. Bringing up second and about 5. So second down, oh, they gave him credit for 4, so second down and 6 now. And now hand off to Dodo, and he dodges a tackle, but then is brought down after a gain of just about 2, so bringing up about third and four. Dodo is really good at, really a sudden burst of speed from what I've seen so far. And he's the guy who can be very dangerous, so we got to clamp down on him. Remember that we did give up rushing touchdowns of 59 and 77 yards to different players last weekend that went over Greenwood. That was really not as much of a blowout as the final score implies. And now Bolston is pressured, and we gets off the screen pass, and it is complete. Aguirre, does he get the first down? It's going to be really close. It's going to be within a yard either way. So they're going to go for it on 4th and 1, and now we've got a whistle here. And it's going to be against the Quakers, so it'll be a first down there. So 2 first downs on this drive now for the Hawks. And now long pass by Polson, and it is incomplete. That was the deepest he's gone in this game, I believe. So it'll be 2nd and 10, 1:25 to go. Hicks was the intended receiver. So 2nd and 10 now for the Hawks at their own 46. The only score coming so far on an 85-yard pass from Newell to Vanderbush. The third time they've connected for a touchdown this season. Hunter Newell, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions now in game 6. And now takes the handoff to Dodo, and Polson takes it himself. He's up to about the 50, and he's brought down by about 4 Quakers there, so it'll bring up 3rd and about 6 or so. Polson is a good rusher. Four Hawks have already rushed by my count. Give him credit for 4 on that one, bringing the ball right to the 50. Third and 6. Got to get him off the field here. So now they got 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Barry, I believe, is the running back. Low snap, but Polson gets it. It's pressured. He's got a man open, and it is caught there, and he's knocked out of bounds. He's got the first down. It was completed there by Richmond, just shy of the Plainfield 40. Give him credit for 9 on that one. Richmond with his first reception of the game. Hi, So first and 10 now for the Hawks at the Plainfield 41, trying to get the first score of the game. And now hand off to Dodo. He's got some room past the 35-30, and he's got a first down to move up to 28. That's the longest gain of the evening for Napo Dodo. First name spelled N apostrophe P-O. Unusual, but it is easy to pronounce at least. Give him credit for 12 on that one. First and 10 at the 29 now for the Hawks, trying to tie or take the lead. They trail by 7. Three receivers from the left, one to the right. Dodo is still at running back. Low snap, but Polson pulls it in. Throws deep down the left side into the end zone, and it is incomplete. Well, by my count, Polson has already thrown 10 passes, completed only 3. He's going for Richmond there in the end zone, so second and 10 now. 3.6 seconds left to go in the first quarter. 7:28 your time of day. Plainfield, prior to this season had not been, they had not been 2-0 in 4 years. They had not been 3-0 in 10 years. They had not been 4-0 or 5-0 as they are now in 17 years. Two receivers now to the left. Now they give it to Dodo. He breaks he's hit behind the line, but breaks the tackle and gets all the way up to about the 24 or so. And that will bring us to the end of the first quarter. So after 12 minutes of play here in Southwest Indianapolis, your score, Plainfield 7, Decatur Central 0. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. We would like to thank our sponsors for making tonight's broadcast of Plainfield football on AudioSportsOnline.com possible. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Ganell Financial, REMAX Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates REMAX, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Southwest Indianapolis, where your Plainfield Quakers are about to start the second quarter of game 6 of the season, they lead the arch-rival Decatur Central Hawks by a score of 7-0. It's a game in which both teams have largely struggled to move the ball. However, Plainfield did make one super big play on 3rd and 10. Hunter Newell threw a 85-yard touchdown pass to Cale Vanderbush. Leo Hayob was good on the extra point, bringing us to our current score of 7-0. Now, to start off the second quarter, Decatur Central has a 3rd and 5 at the Plainfield 24. They are having their best drive of the game. Napo Dodo, their leading rusher, is starting to get going. Bo Polston has struggled with his accuracy, but has a couple of big completions on this drive. So now, pitch back to Dodo, and he spins around, and he's going to be close to the first down. He's going to be about a yard short. No, he got it. So it's about a 5-yard gain there by Dodo. You know, in Hindi, Dodo is the word for sleep. So it's an interesting coincidence there. So anyway, now we've got Barry to now hold that thought. And now a handoff there to Aguirre, and he's down inside the 15, I think close to the 10. Let's see where they mark him. So Decatur Central is threatening to tie or take the lead. They give him credit for 8 on that one. 2nd and 2. Now pitch back, and I think he got inside the 10 for the first down. That was Dodo. Yeah, and they did move the chains. He gets two or three there. So it's going to be first and goal now at the 8 or 9. .10:48 to go and counting here in Southwest Indianapolis. Plainfield, by the way, it should be noted that though they are on a 2-game winning streak against the Hawks, they're still on a 10-game losing streak to the Hawks at this stadium. And now, handoff, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. That was KC Berry there. So with 10:32 to go, your score now, Plainfield 7, Decatur Central 6, with the conversion pending. Now, Ashton Vogel, the Decatur Central kicker, as I said, one of the best kickers in the state. But will they go for the 2 to try to take the lead here? It looks like they, it's hard to tell. Now Vogel is lining up now. This would be to tie, not take the lead. Vogel, 9 of 10 on extra points. 8 of 10 on field goals with a long of 48. Height now. And it's blocked. Do we retain the lead? Yes. Yes. All right. So, Plainfield struggles with its rushing defense on the last drive, but a block extra point after a high snap, and we retain the lead. 7-6 your score now. Nevertheless, a good 9-yard touchdown rush there by KC Berry. Well, I'll tell you, if you look at Plainfield's wins this year, and got their last 3 wins last year, too, we trailed in our last 3 wins last year, and we trailed in 4 of the 5 wins this year. We have not trailed tonight. The only win, of our last 8 wins, the only one in which we never trailed was Mooresville 3 weeks ago. Our last road game, we won 31-15. And we were comfortably ahead for the bulk of the game. So now, a deep kickoff, and it goes into the end zone for the touchback. So Plainfield, we have given up some big, plays. Our rushing defense has given up quite a few big runs this year, but, we've usually found a way to clamp down to make a stop when we counted. A couple of weeks ago when Perry Meridian visited us, we had a hard time controlling their leading rusher, Zachary Huckabee, late in the game, but we did finally force them onto a fourth down and that missed field goal that preserved the win for us. So, anyway, now on offense, pass over to Isaiah Miller, and he's up for a short gain. Isaiah Miller, a senior, Vanderbush. Started. I apologize for that. So they give him credit for 2 there. Second and 8 for the Quakers with their own 22. Newell takes the snap. Hands off. He's got a rush for about 4 yards there up the middle. That was Starnes there. By my count, only his 3rd rush of the game. Starnes has mostly done his best rushing later in games on the season, although last year he exploded for 2 last week against Greenwood. He exploded for 2 first-quarter touchdowns, as he gives Starnes credit for 5 on that one. So 3 receivers now to the left, 1 to the right. Starnes, the running back, Newell in shotgun. 9:22 to go and counting here in the first quarter, playing till 7, Decatur Central 6. Snap. Newell throws. He's got a completion. He's got the first down, brought down about the 32. Jameer Bowie there with, by my count, a second reception of the game. So good to see the Quakers move the chains. gain of about 9 there by Bowie. Also has 3 touchdowns on the season. Likely to be our number one receiver next year after Vanderbush graduates. So 2 receivers now to the right, 1 to the left. Now handoff to, no, he's just on the other side. He's got past the 40 up to about the 41. So good fake there on that good reverse. So Newell there, good fake handoff, faked me out. And he picks up about 8 or so. Newell hasn't rushed a lot this year, 25 rushes coming into tonight, but he has rushed well in spots. He is capable of doing it. So 2nd and 2 now. Hands off to Starnes, and I believe he's got the 1st down and more up to about the 45. So, you know, the Quakers, you know, showed that they can, you know, score on just a huge play like they did on the 85-yard pass from Newell to Vanderbush. Now they're showing they can move the ball methodically as well. So 1st and 10 at their own 45. 8:05 to go and counting here. Playing with a 7-6 lead over their fiercest rival, Newell. Big snap. And now he hands off. And he's got up the middle, and he's got the 1st down and more past midfield up to about the 49. Starnes once again. Gain of about 6 there. Give him credit for 6. So sorry, that was 1st down. So 2nd and 4 for the Quakers. They are in Decatur Central Territory now at the 49. 2 receivers each side. Starnes is still in there at running back, and why not? He can handle the workload. And now Bowie shifts left. He gets it, and now it's Decatur Central's right on top of it. And it's going to be he's brought down for maybe a gain of 1 or 2. Let's see what kind of... So it's going to be 3rd and 3 now for the Quakers, 6:55 to go and counting. Decatur Central does get the ball first to start the 2nd half. So it's all the more reason why we really need to get another score here in this 1st half. And not only that, but just right now, just keep the chains moving, keep the clock and the chains moving. So 1 receiver out to the left, 2 to the right, Bowie in motion again. This time Starnes gets it, and he's going to be short of the 1st down. I think he picked up a yard or 2. We'll see what kind of spot he gets. So it's going to be 4th and 1. All right. They're going for it on 4th and 1 here, and now we've got a timeout. So Plainfield takes their 1st timeout of the game. Decatur Central took the 1st timeout, excuse me. So now when we come back, Plainfield will be going for it on 4th and 1 at the Decatur Central 46. Plainfield does lead 7-6. Once again, an extra point is the difference in the score. Plainfield got a touchdown on an 85-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Duell to Caden Vanderbush. Decatur Central countered on a 9-yard touchdown rush by Casey Berry. However, the extra point was blocked. And keep in mind that in 2 of our victories so far this year, the only difference in the final score was conversion points. That was the case of the 1-point win over Harrison, 15-14, and then the 1-point win over Perry Meridian, 21-20. So Plainfield set to go for it now. So the good try quarterback sneaks it. And now they give it to Starnes. They're right on top of him. I don't know if he got it or not. Depends on the spot, but let's see here. Got it. All right. Boy, that's a sigh of relief because, you know, had he not gotten it, that means that Decatur Central would have gotten the ball, you know, with 5:51 to go here in the first half in good field position. And only 1 point deficit, and you know the worst case scenario would be if they got a touchdown, and you know consumed almost the rest of the half doing it, and then got another touchdown start the second half. But as it is now, Plainfield with the ball and clinging to a 1 point lead here. So now takes the handoff to Starnes, throws deep down the left side, and it is just overthrown. We got a looks like a pass interference penalty. All right.
I will later. I don't have to yet. They probably should just leave it plugged in the rest of the game.
So 5:31 to go now and counting. Plainfield coming off after that penalty has the ball now at the Decatur Central 30. 15 free yards is always very welcome. So you got Vanderbush now out to the left. I believe it's Bowie and Miller to the right. Starnes are running back, Newell in shotgun. Now Bowie in motion. Hands off to Starnes. He's at 22. So Weston Weyrich now in the game. So 22 replacing 32. Weyrich has had some good moments and spots this season. He is a junior. He got his first varsity touchdown of his career last week, closing out our scoring against Greenwood. So it's good to see him, you know, getting some more minutes tonight. So 3 for Weyrich, 2nd and 7 for the Quakers at the Decatur Central 27. Now fakes the handoff. And now throws deep, and he's got a man wide open, and he gets a touchdown. Yes. All right. 27 yards, 100 duel. And we got a flag. Let's see if it will count. All right, let's coming back. Illegal man downfield. Okay, well, disappointment, but just got to, you know, shake it off and get one that counts this time. So they move the ball now back to the 33. 4:49 to go here in the first half. Plainfield 7, Decatur Central 6, Quakers with the ball at the Decatur Central 33, 2nd down. Now throws over to Bowie, breaks the tackle, and he gets up about to the 20. He gets, couldn't tell because of my vantage point. It was, I'm so low off the field, but I think, what's they got? Okay, they're marking at the 28, plus about a 5-yard gain there. Bringing up 3rd down. Bowie was possibly our MVP back in the Terre Haute South game in week 1. Got 2 touchdowns for us in the big one. So now Vanderbush, Bowie, and Miller all line up to the left. Marcos Rivera, I believe, is now in there to the right. Empty backfield. Starnes is well to the right, okay. And now drops back plenty of time. And he throws, and it is incomplete. Starnes, the intended receiver, bringing up 4th down. We are in 4-down territory, however. So we're going for a field goal here. This is a, this, of course, it could be a fake, but if it, if this is a field goal attempt, it will be from 46 yards. Payoff hit a 30-yarder last week, and then Cameron Grimes hit a 45, and now it's not even close. And it's just returnable, and now the Decatur Central a player has got up to the, about the 30, 35. So yeah, missed field goal there by Cameron Grimes. He did hit a 45-yarder earlier. That was only a yard back, but that one was nowhere close. So bad break for the Quakers. We drive as far as the Decatur Central 27, but come away with no points on the missed field goal. So Decatur Central takes over at the 32 now with 3:51 to go. We just got to keep them from scoring the rest of the half, especially because, you know, we don't want to, especially because they get the ball first start second half. So now a screen pass to Richmond. He's up for about 3 or 4, but we kept him in bounds, and the clock keeps moving, and that's one thing we've got to, the defense has got to keep the guys in bounds. Decatur Central still with 2 of their timeouts left. So second now and 7 for the Hawks at their own 35. And now he's got a breakthrough, and he could go all the way, but he's got inside the 30. So that's going to be a huge gain that puts them in a great scoring position there. That was Aguirre, who takes it from the Decatur Central 35 down to the Plainfield 28. Good effort by the Quakers to catch him, but that is a gain of 37 yards there. Longest rush of the game there by either team. So now the defense has to really clap down. 2:45 to go now. A false start against the Decatur Central, so that does back it up 5, so a small break for us. Backs up to the 33. Got to get a stop here. 2:45 to go here in the first half. Plainfield leading just by 1, 7-6. So now, fake the handoff, throws deep, and it is incomplete. Colston's long passes have been off pretty consistently tonight. So second and 15 now. And it's one good thing about that penalty is the 15 yards instead of 10 yards to go for the first down. That very well could be the difference between them scoring and not. So. Go on, boys. Let's keep clamping down. 2:27 to go now here in the first half. Plainfield 7, Decatur Central 6. Hawks have the ball second and 15 at their own 33. And now I hand off there to Dodo, and he's run out of bounds for a short gain, so bringing up third and long right where we want him. Very good coverage there. Dodo has a lot of explosive speed, so we've got to be on top of him. So they give him credit for 5 on that one. 3rd and 10. We've got to get him off the field here. Unfortunately, they did get out of bounds on their last two players, So now we got Richmond and Barry lined up to the right, one receiver to the left, one running back. Holston in shotgun gets the snap, hands it to Dodo again. He gets up for about 5 or so. It's going to be short of the first down, but they are obviously in 4-down territory, not to mention. And now they're going for it here, or at least they're making the appearance of doing it, and they could go for a field goal too because they're well within the range of Ashton Vogel. I think they were maybe, so Blankfield took the timeout, okay. Blankfield took the timeout, so. Boy, already a very tense game, and that's what you expect, you know, from this rivalry, especially the way it's gone the last couple of years, the two games last year. The regular season game at Plainfield, 34-32, Quakers win in overtime. Then the sectional championship game also at Plainfield, 13-10, Quakers win on a 19-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Noah Hessung. 1.3 seconds left, sticking a dagger through the heart of the Hawks. Now, this would be about a 40-yard field goal if they went for the field goal from here, and it looks like that's what they are going to do. And that would give the Quakers the lead, or the Hawks the lead, 2:03 to go. We did block the extra point earlier. It would be great if we came through with another block here. Vogel is 8 for 10 on field goals on the season with a long of 46. This one from 40. Movement at the line, but they no call. Slow snap, though, and they do get it away, and it is good. So the Hawks take their first lead, 2:03 to go, 9-7. So now Plainfield with two time. It was still showing on the board. They have three timeouts left, three timeouts left, so they just used one. So Plainfield with two timeouts left. Now we've really got to try to score. Otherwise, Decatur Central will get the ball first to start the second half. And with a touchdown, regardless of the conversion, they would, well, that's not true. They would, if they had the touchdown with no conversion, it would be an 8-point lead. But a touchdown and a conversion, they would have a 2-possession lead. We just got to avoid that, especially because we have not moved the ball very well tonight for the most part. Again, the Quakers have trailed in 7 of their last 8 victories. They trailed in both of their wins over Decatur Central last year. But man, what can you say about Ashton Vogel? I mean, he I don't know. I'll have to check this out, but I don't know if there's any kicker who has 9 field goals here in Indiana high school football this year. If there are, it's got to be very few. First 5 years I was here at Plainfield, they had the Hagee brothers. I got spoiled on them, and now kickoff taken just shy of the goal line, brought to the 20-25. Up to about the 32 or so. That was Vanderbush on the return. I could see the urgency in him, you know. He already had they marked it at the 33, by the way. Vanderbush, of course, had that 99-yard touchdown return in the Decatur Central game. So now we've got Isaiah Miller, Weston Weyrich, and one other player lined up to the left, another to the right. One running back, Newell, and shotgun, Plainfield, 68 yards, 158 to go. And it is a short pass that is caught, and he's catches it on the ground. That was Bowie. But the clock keeps on ticking. And now throws again, and this time it's out of bounds. It threw his hands. It was intended for Bowie. So, 3rd and 4 for the Quakers. Very big 3rd and 4. They really need to get, a score on this drive. Take that lead into the locker room. Not so the defense won't have so much pressure at the start of the second half. So now, screen pass, it is caught by Bowie. He dodges a tackle that might have cost him a first down. We'll see where they mark it. So he ended up getting up to about the 44. And some nice footwork there by Javier Bowie. So they move it up now. That's going to be a gain of about 10 yards up to the 43. 1:20 to go and counting. 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. And now Throws deep downfield. He's got a man open, and it is just overthrown. Going for Bowie again. Bowie, the man of the hour here for the Quakers. So second and 10 now at the 43. Second and 10 at their own 43. 1:11 to go. Two timeouts. So three receivers to the left, one to the right. One running back. And now Starnes goes left. And Bowie, Newell takes it. He's got to get out of bounds at least. He does to stop the clock after, I think it's going to be right around the line of scrimmage where they'll mark him. 2 yard loss, well. So a big third and 12, and I think Plainfield is going to take a timeout here. 52.3 seconds to go. Trying to set something up here. So here's the status update. With 52.3 seconds to go in the first half, your score, Decatur Central 9, Plainfield 7. The Hawks just took their first lead of the game on a 40-yard field goal by Ashton Vogel, one of the best kickers in the state. Now the Quakers have the ball third and 12 at their own 41. Decatur Central gets the ball to start to the second half. Decatur Central has generally rushed well. They have had some trouble finishing drives, but they did get a touchdown with a blocked extra point and a field goal. Plainfield has struggled to move the ball most of the game, but they did have one monster play, an 85-yard touchdown pass from Newell to Vanderbush. And now a very big third down for the Quakers. One timeout left. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. One running back, Newell in shotgun. Now affects the handoff, throws deep down the left side to Miller. He's got it, around the 20. All right, so we're in business here. That's a pickup of about 36 yards, 37. Well, that'd be 39 if they mark it at the 20. All right, so that's Miller with, I believe, his first reception of the game. So now we've got to make sure we get a score here. So three receivers to the left, one to the right now. 36 seconds and counting. So now we got to get rid. He's got to get rid of it, and he does. He was near about to get the sack. 30 seconds left now. Isaiah Miller, with his first reception of the game, quietly having a very effective senior year. Hopefully, he will be playing college ball a year from now. He started to show some promise last year as a junior. Still took a back seat to Grant Irwin and Noah Hessling. Now we've got, let's see, Bowie, Vanderbush, and Rivera to the left. I believe that's Miller to the right. Starnes the running back Newell in shotgun. First, second and 10 at the 20. And now fixed the handoff. And now Newell rolls right. And he throws, he's got a man open. It is complete inside the five, and he's knocked out of bounds near the goal line. That is Bowie again. So the Quakers with their best sustained drive of the game. Now he's got to finish it off here. So he's got the ball marked at, I believe, the... First and goal at the 3 now. So two receivers to the left now. Starnes the running back. And now we've got a timeout. Plainfield, or Decatur Central. Decatur Central takes the timeout now. So with 22.2 seconds to go in the first half, Plainfield has the ball first and goal on the 2 following that 18-yard touchdown, or 18-yard pass, excuse me. I wish we were touchdown pass. But 18-yard pass from Hunter Newell to Jameer Bowie. Plainfield trailing 9-7. However, they have 4 plates to punch it in. They do have a timeout left as well, which is important because it gives them the freedom to work the whole field rather than just, you know, throw into the end zone or in the side or, you know, to the sidelines. So things looking up for the Quakers a lot more now than they did a couple of minutes ago. The key play of the drive was a 39-yard pass on 3rd and 12 from Hunter Newell to Isaiah Miller that moved the ball from the playing field 41 to the Decatur Central 20, and that was followed by a 17-yard pass from Newell to Bowie, bringing us to the 3, which is where we are now. So now we've got Vanderbush out to the right, the only receiver. Now hands off to Starnes. He plows forward. I think he's got it. Waiting for the signal. No, he's short. He's short, so Plainfield's going to have to use that timeout now. 13.3 seconds to go. I could not. The thing is, we're, you know, I'd say I'm about a fourth the distance off the field that I am when I commentate at Plainfield. And don't get me wrong, I like visitors' press boxes, you know, because they're a lot quieter. And now the ball looks like it's literally about 3 inches shy of the goal line, so hopefully we'll just punch it in on this next play and save the drama. So now, we got Bowie and Vanderbush to the left. I believe Rivera and Miller to the right. Starnes the running back. Newell in shotgun. 13.3 seconds left. Come on, boys. Let's punch this in. Get the lead. Now, and he's got it for the touchdown. Yes, that's on a screen pass. Yes, we got the lead. All right. So now your score, Plainfield 13, Decatur Central 9 with the conversion pending. You roll with the second touchdown pass of the game, 8th of the season. So now they're going for the two-point conversion. And they got it. They got it. All right. So, things looking up now. Plainfield leading Decatur Central 15-9. The Quakers now, amazingly, by my count, 9 of 15 on two-point conversions on the season. And they had missed 4 of their last 6, by the way, so it's good to get that there. So, all right. So, we can breathe a little easier now. Because what I was afraid of when we went down 9-7 is that Decatur Central would get the ball first start, second half. Get the touchdown and conversion, and we'd be in a two-possession hole. So 9.7 seconds to go. And by the way, there was 2:03 to go when Decatur Central got that field goal that gave them so far their only lead of the game. Hopefully, it will be their only lead, period. So, Quay, I'd imagine they will squib this extra, kickoff here. And since, you know, Polston has not been a reliable, deep passer in this game, I'd imagine that Decatur Central would, you know, most likely just deal out the clock. Let's dig deep, and it goes, but it goes out of bounds. So, Decatur Central does have one timeout left. So after the kickoff goes out of bounds, Decatur Central does take over at the 35. Of course, there's always a chance they might try like a 30 or 40 yard pass and then a field goal by Vogel, but we'll see. And now that thing, it looks like I thought he looked like he fumbled, but and the clock, apparently he did kneel down first, and that is it. So after one half of play here at the Vera Fair Stadium in Southwest Indianapolis, a very tense game, but your Plainfield Quakers do have the lead, 15-9 over the arch-rival Decatur Central Hawks. We'll be back with a recap and a second half preview after these words from our sponsors. We would like to thank our sponsors for making tonight's broadcast of Plainfield Football on AudioSportsOnline.com possible. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Ganell Financial, Remax Centerstone, Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design and Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellis and Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, business partners. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Southwest Indianapolis, where we're at halftime in this very exciting game with your Plainfield Quakers leading the arch-rival Decatur Central Hawks by a score of 15-9. It's been a wild and woolly game from the start, in which both teams have had a very hard time sustaining drives, but have each made a few big plays to alternately give themselves the momentum. And right now, Plainfield is the team that's made one more big play, thankfully, and hopefully it will stay that way. With 7:21 to go in the game, Plainfield on their first drive scored on an 85-yard touchdown pass from Hunter Newell to Caden Vanderbush. Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes was good on the extra point, making it 7-0. Then with 10:32 to go in the second quarter, Decatur Central got its first score on an 8-yard rush by number 22, Casey Berry. Ashton Vogel on the extra point was blocked, so Plainfield retained the lead 7-6. And then with 2:03 to go, Vogel hit a 40-yard field goal, making it 9-11 on the year. And that put Plainfield up. That put Decatur Central up for the first time in the game at 9-7. However, Plainfield, on its ensuing drive, persevered on 3rd and 12 at their own 41. Hunter Newell completed a 39-yard pass to Isaiah Miller, followed by a 17-yard touchdown pass to Jameer Bowie. Jameer Bowie bringing the ball down to the 3. And then with 10 seconds to go in the half, Newell threw to Bowie for a 1-yard touchdown pass and the 2-point conversion by Elijah Flowers was good, bringing us to our current score of 15-9. A look at the individual statistics. First of all, for Plainfield, Hunter Newell has completed 11 of 18 passes for 169 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. His leading receiver is Jameer Bowie, who already has 8 receptions for 44 yards and a touchdown, followed by Isaiah Miller with 2 receptions for 41 yards. Caden Vanderbush with 1 for 48 and a touchdown. And then Luke Starnes with 2 for 0.
No, I apologize. Those were, well, thrown to stars, not caught by him. I apologize for that, Mr. Sandy. So, Joseph Jamir Bowie, 8-for-44 and a touchdown. Isaiah Miller, 2-for-41, and Caden Vanderbush, 1-for-84 and a touchdown. On the ground, not a whole lot to report. Plainfield really struggling on the ground in this game. Luke Starnes for Plainfield, 8-for-20 with a long of 6. Weston Ray was 1-for-3, and Hunter Newell, 4-for-8. So only 31 yards rushing for the Quakers. Meanwhile, for Decatur Central, Bo Polston has completed 4 of 12 passes for 27 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. His leading receiver, Chris Richmond, has 2 receptions for 12 yards, followed by Napo Dodo, 1 for 12, Albert Aguirre, 1 for 3. On the ground, Decatur Central has done a lot better. Albert Aguirre has 4 rushes for 55 yards. Napo Dodo, 10 for 53. Casey Berry, 4 for 6 and a touchdown. And Bo Holston, 1 for 3. The play field is 31 offensive plays for 190 yards. Decatur Central, 32 for 148. So, the Quakers have outgained the Hawks by 52 yards. And thanks to Jeff Sherman, the official Plainfield statistician, for feeding me with the statistics. That does make my job easier. And sorry, my computer had a hard time bringing them up. But anyway, I was able to read them off my phone. So anyway, now we got the Plainfield marching band going here. And right now, the Decatur Central marching band, yeah, I wish I were in Plainfield now, but, you know, I'm here covering the Quakers, so that's good enough for me. But right now, at the halftime, let's do something I meant to do in the pregame show, but I got sidetracked. Let's take a look at what the other Hendricks County teams are up to tonight, starting in Class 6A. Brownsburg, my usual broadcast partner, Rob Kendall, is at number one for the third consecutive week after last week's 42-28 win over currently seventh-ranked Fishers. But tonight, the Bulldogs play possibly their toughest challenge of the season so far as they visit the fourth-ranked and also 5-0 Westfield Shamrocks. Then the county's other 6A team, Avon, is on the brink of its third consecutive disastrous season. Their third consecutive disastrous season following 1-9 and 2-9 the last 2 years. Avon is off to an 0-5 start. Last year they had possibly their best chance to get a win all season, but they lost at home 31-28 to the Franklin Central Classes. Tonight Avon plays at 7th-ranked and 3-2 Fishers. In Class 3A, the Tri-West Bruins move up 2 notches to number 8 with last week's 21 win over the county's other 3A team, the Danville Warriors. That loss dropped Danville out of the rankings after being number 18 last week. Tonight, 4-1 Tri-West should get another win as they host the 2-3 Lebanon Tigers. Meanwhile, Danville is now 3-2 and hosts the 4-1 Southmont Mounties tonight. And finally, in Class 2A, the Cascade Cadets fall out of the rankings after being number 13 last week as they lost 49-13 to the Lutheran Saints, who are working on their third consecutive undefeated state championship season. Tonight, Cascade plays its second of 3 consecutive road games as they visit the 1-4 North Putnam Cougars in the lovely community of Rochdale. And, you know, when I was Cascade's primary commentator for 3 years, 2 years in football and then 3 years for boys and girls basketball. And every time we had a game out there at North Putnam, and I mentioned that it's in the lovely community of Rochdale, I always assured the fans that Rochdale is a much lovelier community than the name implies. And, you know, I actually looked up on Wikipedia to see the origin of their name, and it was actually named after a guy by the name of Judge Roach. So, anyway, interesting story there. And they actually have roach races there every year, believe it or not. I haven't been to one. That would be interesting.
I'm not sure how to feel about it. I'm sure it's quite a spectacle, though. So anyway, back to the action here. Plainfield, obviously, you know, it's an up and down game. It's been an up and down season. They keep finding ways to win. And, you know, what really impresses me about this team is that so many of their best moments have come when they looked down and out. You know, one of my favorite songs of all time is a song by the band Genesis from 1978 called Down and Out. It was before they went super pop. I mean, it has one of the most incredible drum parts I've ever heard by Phil Collins. A few years before he became this big super mainstream pop star, back when he was just a super kick donkey drummer. But anyway, Plainfield has looked down and out a few times this year, but they've always come back and just, you know, fired that bullet, you know. I always think about, you know, going back to the Rocky series again, you know, the part in the original where he gets knocked down and Apollo Creed starts celebrating and then he turns around and then he's shocked to see Rocky get up again, you know. And then there's a similar moment in Rocky Balboa, the last movie in which Rocky fights, when he's knocked down by his opponent, Mason Blind Dixon, played by real-life boxer Antonio Tarver. And Rocky goes down to one knee, and that's when he gets a vision of that quote, it ain't about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And then he gets up and, you know, Dixon looks shocked. And so, you know, Plainfield, you look at it, key plays, you know, last week, 4th and 10 at their own 33. We do have a 2-point lead over Greenwood, but the Woodmen clearly have the momentum, 22-20. After that 77-yard touchdown rush by Brock Riddle to start off the second half on the first play from scrimmage. Then it's 4th and we go, it looks like we're going to go 3 and out. Then all of a sudden, 4th and 10 at our own 33. Alex Holskala rushes 22 yards on a fake punt. And changes the momentum. We go on to run off 24 points to close off the game. Tonight, we are tied, but for second possession after getting the ball first. It's third and long, I believe it was 3rd and 10. And then Newell just, you know, threw fearlessly deep, to Caden Vanderbush, senior to senior, 84 yards for the touchdown. And then tonight, you know, when we're down 9-7, we've just gone down for the first time all game. You know, we come back and, again, you know, it's 3rd and 12 at our own 41. Then Newell throws 39 yards to Isaiah Miller. Then after an incomplete pass, he throws 17 yards to Jameer Bowie, getting us down to the 3. And, of course, we end up scoring on the short pass to Bowie. So, yeah, I mean, Plainfield just does its best when we're up against a wall. And like I said, if we win this game tonight, then we will have trailed in 8 of our last 9 victories, going back to our last 3 victories last season. So, you know, I remember how relaxing that Mooresville game was 3 weeks ago to start off Labor Day weekend. Man, that was just so relaxing. We won 31-15. And really, there wasn't much doubt about it from early on. And really, you know, I mean, we were up 31-7 or 8 when they got that touchdown in the last couple of minutes. So, anyway, I was just telling Mike something, he could turn off his hotspot now because I got everything I needed. Because I never found out the Wi-Fi information here, so I had to use my son's hotspot on his phone for a while so I could get an internet connection here on my laptop. But anyway, let's see. What I want to see in the second half, I want the defense to get a stop here on the first drive. You know, if Decatur Central does get a touchdown, any conversion would put them in the lead. Otherwise, if they miss the conversion, and keep in mind we did block their first extra point, it would be tied. What I really want to happen, though, is I like us to get a stop. A turnover would be better, but as long as we hold them without any points, then get the ball, and then get any score, even a field goal, we got a two-possession lead. And then that would probably induce Polson to pass some more. He's only 4 of 12 as it is, and I believe all of his long passes. I mean, he's only gotten 27 yards passing, so he hasn't completed any long passes. And a lot of his long passes were pretty far off target. He's got a good arm, just not a lot of control over it yet, it looks like. But basically, I just wanted to, you know, get that two-possession lead and induce Polson to pass a lot. And then, you know, they do have, you know, some good running backs like, you know, Napo Dodo, Casey Berry, and then Polson himself. But if we can, you know, get that two-possession lead, we can afford to, you know, let them have 5, 6, 7 yard gains as long as we keep, you know, the ball in bounds. So basically, I think a lot is going to depend on this first possession of the half, you know, when Decatur Central gets the ball. You know, so we just got, as long as they don't score on this first possession, I think we've got a pretty good grip on this one. And it's hard to believe it would be our third, you know, consecutive win over Decatur Central, but we still got 24 minutes to play and they only got a 6-point lead. So, you know, every game I keep saying, okay, I want the next game to be 48 good minutes. Well, that's a lot to ask. I mean, you know, it's so hard to play 48 good minutes, you know, and you've got, you know, so many different players, so many different variables, but I'd like to see 24 good minutes from us in the second half and get this win. And, you know, I think one thing that'll be really good if we get this win, besides being 6-0, once again, Decatur Central is in our sectional. And that means that if we do play them in the sectional, which there's a good chance of, then we would be, hard to believe we'd be going into that game with a 3-game winning streak against them. And that could really get into their heads. You know, I mean, they sure were in our heads for a long time, and we finally got that big gorilla off our back last year. And of course, there's a little bit of a gorilla I want to get off our back, next week. Which is Franklin. You know, they have beaten us the last 2 years and then 3 of the last 4. That's a mini. Well, I guess maybe that's like a little dog get off your back, like a you know, like a Lhasa Apso or something like that, like one of those 20-pound dogs. And then we got a pretty big gorilla to get off our back in a couple of weeks in our next road game 2 weeks from tonight at Whiteland. But, you know, the Warriors, after beating us 6 straight times, including 49-14 in the sectional last year, or the regional, excuse me, they're off to a 2-3 start this year. They were hit pretty hard by graduation, and Coach Jerem Fisher doesn't have many rebuilding years, but this is one of them. And, you know, the team, the Perry Meridian team that we beat 21-20 a couple of weeks ago, turned around and beat Whiteland last week 28-13. And so Whiteland is vulnerable this year. We got to go down there and get that win in a couple of weeks. Get that monkey off our backs, especially because we could play them in the regional this year. Although right now, if we do win the sectional, our most likely regional opponent would be Franklin, our opponent next week. So, you know. And right now, our most likely semi-state opponent Bloomington North, which, like I said, is coached by, our head coach, Tyler Bless's uncle, Tim Bless, the last of the 3 Bless brothers, who is still coaching. His dad, Mark, retired at the end of last year from Avon. And Tyler's uncle, it was his uncle Tim. It's Tim, who was the head coach at Columbus North, retired at the end of the 2021 season. It's Scott Bless, who coaches still at Bloomington North. So all those blesses, it's easy to forget. It's easy to get them confused with each other. Kind of like the bad Tracy kids who were here for all those years at Decatur Central, and that they weren't all brothers. Some of them were cousins. And, oh God, I was so glad last year when I heard Coach Woodard say on his show Then he looked at the roster, they're running a new Tracy. So hopefully that family well has run dry, at least for the next generation, because they were a huge thorn in our side for a long time. And, you know, there were two plays out of this. Like I said, the first time I ever commentated Plainfield Decatur Central, it was 2012, when Plainfield got its last win over Decatur Central for a decade. And during that 13-game losing streak, there were two plays that really summed up the losing streak, from my perspective. Two just incredible plays. It's like, gee, from my perspective, it's like, gee, this could only happen to us against Decatur Central. One was in the playoffs 4 years ago when we were down 7-0. Jarrett Steven gets the ball at our own 30, takes it all the way down to the Decatur Central 3. Then on the next play, we're about to run in for a touchdown. I'll keep waiting for the referee to raise his arms, and one of the Tracy kids comes out of the pile with the ball and a clear pass to the end zone, so it should have been 7-7. You know, now it's 14-0, and Decatur Central cruised to an easy win in that game, and now the opening kickoff of the second half, taken just shy of the end zone, right up to the 15-20. Oh, he's got a hole, but, you know, we fill it up, and he stopped just shy of the 30. And then the other one was, like I mentioned the play earlier, 2 years ago when I think we were down 7-0. After a punt, we downed the ball at the Decatur Central 1. So I was feeling good about it. It's like, okay, let's hold him the 3 and out, get the ball back in good field position. But on the first play of the ensuing drive, Caleb Hicks took it in 99 yards for the touchdown. Those two plays just sum up the 13-game losing streak for me. So it was so sweet to get that, you know, gorilla off our backs last year. And now, we stop him right around the line of scrimmage. That was Barry there, who got the only touchdown for the Hawks so far. Barry was 4 for 16 in the first half, and stopped dead in his tracks there. So good start to the drive for the Quakers defense. They had mixed success against the rush in the first half. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. And now fakes the handoff. Folsom takes it himself. And he's got the rumor on the right side. He could get the first down. He's pressed 35. And he's driven out of bounds right around the 40. So he does have the first down. Folsom was 1 for 3 in the first half. Very promising sophomore. One play he would like to have back. And is overall better than expected freshman season. They have a better spot than I thought. Up to the 44. I thought he was knocked out around the 40. It was hard for me to tell from the other side of the field. But one pass he'd like to have back is the interception that he threw early in the fourth quarter with Decatur Central on top 10-0. It was intercepted and returned by Grant Irwin for a touchdown beginning our comeback. And now a low snap, but he gets the handoff. And now we got a flag here. And so Dodo with the carry, but let's see what the call is. Looks like it's going to be against the Hawks holding. Okay, good. Good break for the Quakers. Now we got to take advantage. So that will back up the ball to the 34. All right. First down here for the, they'll bring about first and 20 for the Hawks. So you got to take advantage of that unfavorable position. So now Folsom takes it, short pass, and it is tipped, and it, did we get the interception? Yes! Up to the 40, 35, and up to about the 30. So all right, Plainfield. All right, I said I'd prefer a turnover. I'd settle for just no points, but yeah, we got the turnover. And in good field, great field position. So now we just got to get that two possession lead and go for the jugular. What you got to do against your opponent is just, you know, this isn't a direct parallel, but, you know, my parents were zealous fans of the TV series Dallas, and the legendary J.R. Ewing used to say, when you don't trust a man, to do the right thing. Don't give them a choice. Well, this isn't a direct parallel, but basically, you know, when you don't, when you're not sure, when you know your opponent can beat you, just don't give him a chance to win. So three receivers to the right, one to the left. Starnes gets the ball. He takes it up for about four yards. So it's 10:24 to go and counting. Amazing. Polston showing a lot of promise, but you know, I think by the time he's a senior, you know, I always, even playing field opponents, I love watching them progress year to year. Of course, I want us to beat them, but I also, you know, enjoy seeing their growth and progression as players. And so now three receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back. Second down and 8. Starnes had a relatively slow first half. Now he gets the – no, Hunter, he'll fix it. He's got the room inside the 15, 10, 5. Is he going to get it? Where is he going to be out? Well, it looks like they knocked him out just shy of the goal line. So the Quakers 1 yard away from taking that two-possession lead. So let's do it, boys. Got four plays to punch it in. Vanderbush, the only receiver, he's out to the left. Looks like Starnes still there in there at running back. Also Newell. Newell's good size. He could do a quarterback sneak here, too. Gives it to Starnes, and he's under the end zone for a touchdown. Yes. So the Quakers breathing easier now with a 21-9 lead with the conversion pending. 9:34 to go here in the third quarter. All right. So maybe we're going to have an easier breathing second half like we did at Mooresville 3 weeks ago. And now the two-point conversion is good. So, Decatur Central gets the ball first to start the second half, but an interception by Bo Polston returns to the 30. Then Hunter Newell on a beautiful fake handoff takes it up to the 1, and Luke Starnes punches it in. First touchdown of the game, 9th of the season, 5th the last 2 games. He had 4 last week in the big win over Greenwood. So I can taste 6-0. Plainfield has not played a perfect game, but they've made some super big-time plays when they were, you know, when things looked the bleakest. And, you know, one thing I like about it, you know, when we went down to Perry Meridian, we came right back and tied it. When we went down to Greenwood, we went right back, you know, and tied it. We went down to Decatur Central, we came right back and took the lead. So our boys clearly, once they get behind, they don't like it very much. And they erase it very quickly, so. A little more drama in the first half than I had hoped, but then again, this is Decatur Central, and Decatur Central, Plainfield to me, that's what the Yankees and Red Sox are, or IU, Purdue, Duke, North Carolina are to some people. I just love this rivalry. It's been such a great honor and pleasure to cover it for 12 years now. Kickoff goes deep, and is it going to be a touchback? Yes. I couldn't tell if it stayed in bounds or not, but it did. I'll tell you, I always say one of my all-time favorite Quaker players is Colin Nyswander, the starting quarterback of the 2014 and 2015 teams, because he was just such a quietly effective player. He wasn't that talented. I mean, he was my size at 5'10 and 165. I think it's one of the reasons I like him so much. It made me think, gee, maybe I could have been a quarterback, you know. Yeah, my son said maybe I could have. Yeah, well, we'll never know. But anyway, Decatur Central now taking over at their own 20, trying to get things going. And he's brought down for just a short rush. That was Hicks there. Kashmir Hicks. He is a sophomore, 5'10", 145. They need to get him in the weight room, but certainly very promising. Kashmir spelled the same way as the Led Zeppelin song. So now, Chris Richmond lined up to the left. And now, a reverse, and he's brought down for just about 3 yards to bring it up third and long. That was Hicks again, so maybe that, you know, they're hoping that he will get a breakthrough here. 8:32 and counting in the third quarter. 8:42 your time of day. Looks like this will be another late one. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. One running back, Folsom and shotgun. Low snap, and he gets it, rolls to his left. He's got room, throws, and it is caught. No, no, it's not. I thought he had it. The referee said no. It's intended there for Casey Berry. Bringing up fourth down. So it looks like the Hawks are going to punt here with a 14-point deficit, 8-11 to go here in the third quarter. They led once. They took a 9-7 lead on a 40-yard touchdown, on a 40-yard field goal from Ashton Vogel with 2:03 to go in the second quarter. Then the Plainfield came right back and took the lead before the end of the half on a. And now the punt bounces. It takes a slight. Decatur Central bounce and is returned just for about 2 yards up to the 42. Starnes in there on the return. They mark it right at the 40. So the Quakers now, okay. Okay, so rushing the kicker against Plainfield. Gosh darn it. All right, well, we were about to have a chance to take a three-possession lead now. We're letting them, you know, giving them a little bit of a lifeline here. Not a lot. Decatur Central now with the ball at the 37. So now a handoff there, and he's stuck right at the line of scrimmage. All right. Hate that we didn't get them off the field, but, you know, if we stopped there, Aguirre. You know, there's a lot of you people my age, I'm 52, to put this into perspective. There's a basketball player whose name, with last name is spelled that way. His first name was Mark. They called him Mark Aguirre, but here they're saying Aguirre, which I think is closer to the actual, it's a Spanish name, I think it's actual, closer to the actual native pronunciation. So anyway, now, they give it, again, and he's up for about 5 yards, that was Barry this time, and he gets up for about 5 or 6. So now it'll be third down for the third down and about 4 for the Hawks. Third down and 5, as it says on the scoreboard. They're not real swift about putting up the yards to go on the scoreboard tonight, but they got that one up there. Cool looking scoreboard though. So now Holston takes the handoff, rolls left, he throws deep downfield and double coverage, and it is incomplete. Oh no, they're gonna get us. It looks like for pass interference. It's one of those things, I'm glad I'm not an official, but wish we had the benefit of replay on that one, but if it is pass interference, then that will mean that we've given Decatur Central 33 yards on this possession. helping him stay alive. That'd be great if we still held him with no points on this drive. But the Hawks now first and 10 in Plainfield territory at the 42. Come on, we got to get a stop here. Plainfield fans letting the Hawks, letting the officials know what they think of it. So now pitch back, and now he's brought down for about a 3-yard gain. That was Dodo again. 6:30 to go in county here in the third quarter. Plainfield 23, Decatur Central 9. Quakers 5-0 going for 6-0. Decatur Central at 3-2. And they've improved over last year's 4-7. It looks like they're better than last year's 4-7, but a very mixed performance tonight. Now they send both Richmond and Barry out to the right. Decatur Central not as good a passing team as Plainfield is. Now takes the handoff there, and Folsom throws deep into the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown. And we got a late flag. And we got multiple flags. So let's see if see what the call is. So the points are shown on the scoreboard, 23-15. That was Polston's first touchdown pass of the game. Coming into the night, Polston had 5 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. He has 1 of each tonight. Unfortunate conduct against the Hawks. So the penalty will be assessed on the kickoff, so that could help us a lot. So Vogel on the extra point, he's 9 for 11. His first attempt tonight was blocked. And second, well, they went for the block, but this time he did get it. So with 5:54, I don't like this. The Hawks have creeped within 7 when it looked like we were going to get the ball with a chance to take a 3-possession lead. Now it's a 1-possession lead. So we've got to fire back here. We do get the kickoff will be 15 yards backed up because of the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty right after the touchdown. And I'll tell you, it's another reason why I like being in the in the visitors' press booth. You know, it's so awkward, when you're cheering, especially when you're such a partisan commentator like I am, who like goes so crazy. It's so awkward to be cheering when everybody else in the press box is unhappy. Especially last year, when I was just going crazy when we were beating Harrison in the playoffs. And they were all in a really, really bad mood, especially because we broke their 8-game win streak. And we made some great plays to win that game, but they also did a lot to give the game away. So they were really, really upset. I remember seeing the assistant coaches when they came down from the box at the end of the game. They knew that they had blown the game. So anyway, kickoff from the 25 now. Vanderbush takes it up to the 35, 40. Spins around. He gets close to the 50. I think they're going to mark him at the 47. So Plainfield starting off a good field position. Let's just get those points back, boys. Make it a 2-possession game. 5:49 to go here in the third quarter. 8:51 your time of day. So yeah, there's only 3 of us here in the visitor's press box. It's me, my son Liam, and then the Plainfield stat guy, Jeff Sherman. He's been a great help tonight. And actually, he's always a great LP. You know, he's usually sending Rob the statistics, and he sent me the halftime statistics tonight, which helps a lot. So anyway, now we've got today, there's a flag, a personal foul on the Quakers. So it takes away 15 yards from the return, bring it back to 31. So now we got to get those yards back. So two receivers now. Ferguson now out to the left. And now coming back. Now handoff third. I believe that's Starnes again. And they're right on top of him. He gets maybe just one. Starnes did get a touchdown tonight, but he's on pace to have his lowest yards in a game tonight. Come on, boys, we got to keep the momentum going. Or break Decatur Central's newfound momentum, especially now that Folston finally completed a big pass and it was for a touchdown. So now, screen pass, it is caught, but it's going to be short of the first down. That was Isaiah Miller there. So it's going to be about third and four now. Very big third and four for the Quakers. 4:44 to go. Three receivers out to the right now. Three receivers to the left. One to the right. One running back. New Orleans shotgun. Takes it. Rolls over to his right. Looks. And he throws it away. Well, I assume that we will punt here on fourth and about fourth and six here. And this is bad because it means that Decatur Central trailing by seven, they can tie with a touchdown and a one or take the lead with a touchdown and the two. So now suddenly the pressure cranked up again on the defense. They did get an interception to start off the second half. Hopefully they'll get another stop here. Now we have another fake. And we got it. No, we stopped. They stopped him short. Oh, no. Sorry about that. I just looked like he had it to me, but they did stop him. And I guess we went to the well one too many times. We did it last week, but now the thing is Decatur Central takes over at the Plainfield 36 trail only by seven, and they got the momentum now, so we got to get a stop here. 4:17 to go here in the third quarter. Got to get a play to get our momentum back here. So now Folston drops the back, throws into the end zone, and it is overthrown. Bringing up second and 10. Hicks, the intended receiver. Folston has not been a very accurate thrower tonight. He did make the one touchdown pass on the last possession. So, second and 10 for the Quakers now. Barry out to the right, one receiver to the left. Dodo the running back, Folston in shotgun. Takes it, hands off to Dodo. We're right on top of him. We bring him down for maybe a gain of one. So it's going to be a dreaded third and long for the Hawks. Now we got to get him off the field here. Got to get him off the field. 3:52 to go in the third quarter and counting. Plainfield 23, Decatur Central 16. Two posts for comfort. Again, the story of the Quaker season. They've always pulled it out no matter, how bleak it looked. Hopefully they'll do it tonight again. Get their third consecutive win over the Quakers, or over the Hawks, excuse me. Start off 6-0 for the first time in 17 years. So now, Folston under pressure. It is tipped. Oh, man, if only we'd intercepted it, but nevertheless,
It's going to be a 4th and a 10 for the Hawks. So, will they go for it? This would be a about a 52 or 53 yard field goal. I don't know if Vogel quite has that range. He has hit from 46 this year. He hit from 40 earlier tonight to give Decatur Central so far its only lead of the game. It looks like they are going to go for it. So, come on, boys, no excuses. No excuses for not getting him off the field right now. Plainfield fans going crazy, stuffing on the bleachers. And now Polson throws deep into the end zone, and it is... Oh, my God. I couldn't tell because it was, side of the end zone, but it is a touchdown. So now the Hawks are an extra point away from tying it. This is not good. Polson's long passes mostly have been off target tonight, but he hit that one.
You tell me about the pass. Who got the pass?
So Casey Berry there on the reception. I couldn't tell it, I didn't see the catch. And now there's a whistle here. I'm not sure what the issue is. 3:18 to go. Your score, Plainfield 23, Decatur Central 22. Decatur Central just having scored a touchdown on an amazing pass on 4th and 10. And, that brings to another – one of Plainfield's biggest Achilles heels last year was that we failed to get teams off the field. That was a key factor in a lot of our struggles. Of course, we did turn the tables in the Harrison game in the playoffs when it was 4th and 18 in the midway through the fourth quarter when we were down by 7. And then 4th and 18 at the Harrison 39. And then Newell threw 39 yards to Grant Irwin for the touchdown that tied it. And then, of course, on Harrison's ensuing possession, we scored on a fumble recovery to take the lead. And then on Harrison's next ensuing possession, we recovered a fumble and ran out the clock. So now Vogel going for the tie on the extra point here. We're keeping in mind we've blocked one of his extra points tonight. And in doing so, he retains the lead now. Hopefully history will repeat itself here. Vogel should be a Division I kicker in a couple of years. He's a junior. I snap, and it's nearly blocked, but he got it out, and it's tied. Man.
There it is.
And think about it. I mean, if there had not been that roughing the kicker penalty, who knows what would have happened. And now... There's another flag, and we've got three officials deliberating near the end zone. But we've got to get something going. And, Tyler Bless, a very young guy, early 30s. The penalty on the defense will be assessed on the kickoff. Tyler Bless, a very daring young man. He went for a super high-risk fake punt last week. It paid off. This week it didn't. And what makes it even more bitter is that the first three plays of the series after Decatur Central took over at our 36, no yards. But then on 4th and 10, they threw for that long touchdown. Folston to Berry. So now Decatur Central kicking off from their own 45. Vogel should have no problem getting this. This is a trip shot for Vogel to get a touchback. Yeah, he got it, about halfway back. It bounced about halfway into the end zone. So yeah, Ashton Vogel may be the best high school kicker I've seen since the Hagee brothers. You know, even here in the Mid-State Conference where you have mostly 4A and 5A teams plus a 6A team, Perry Meridian, there I have not seen a lot of real good kickers the last few years. You know, the Quakers, first 10 at the 23, receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back. Newell and shotgun, we got to get something going here. And now handoff, but he doesn't get much. So now we'll see how the Quakers respond. They, you know, look like they had the game, you know. They had a pretty good grip on it now. Now it's good. Now it's a fight. So second and 10, there's no gain there on their rush to start off. Two receivers each side now. One running back. Newell rolls his right. He's got some room. And he throws out of bounds. So now third and 10. This is not good. Decatur Central, you know, on their last play, on their last offensive possession, scored a touchdown on a 36-yard pass on fourth and 10. Tonight, playing fields made two big third and long conversions, one for a touchdown, one set up a touchdown. We got to get a big play here. Three receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back, and we've got a flag here. False start in the Quakers. That's 5 yards. So now third and 15. .233 to go here in the third quarter. Game all tied at 23. Decatur Central has scored on its last two possessions to tie it. So three receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back. Newell and shotgun got some movement at the line, but no flag. 21 on the play clock now. Newell, it looked like he looked over possibly for more instructions now. You know, he takes a snap, throws deep down the left side. He's got, and it's broken up. Vander Bush was the intended receiver. I think a lot of the Quaker fans would have passed interference, but there was no call. So it looks like the Quakers will be punting. They're at the 20. So they gained no yards on that play. I can't imagine they'd go for a fake here. So now Decatur Central's deep man standing just past. Then it is LaFollette, by the way. He's standing just past the 50. They go for the block, but it's a good punt. It bounces at the 50, takes a big playing field bounce past the 40. He knocked out about the 38, so that will be a net punt of, I believe, 41 or 42 yards there. So, not real good position for Decatur Central, but nevertheless, our defense is going to have to do something here. I give a lot of credit to Polson, though. I mean, after he started off the half with that interception, he came back and really stuck it to us with those two long touchdown passes. You know, I think he's going to be a real good one. So, pitch back and gained for about 3 or 4 yards there. That was Dodo again. Bringing up about second and six or seven. 2:08 to go. Game tied here late in the third quarter. A roughing the kicker penalty, you know, really changed the momentum of the game. Plainfield was going to get the ball back with a 23-9 lead, a chance to take a three-possession lead. Now we're all tied. Got to get a stop here. And now Molson. And now he's under pressure, and he throws deep and gets rid of it. So bringing up third and about, it's going to be third and long. Third and eight, okay. So we got to get him off the field here. Last possession, they got the ball in outstanding field position at the playing field 36. Scored, they gained no yards on three plays, then threw the touchdown pass. Third and eight here. They put a lot of pressure on Polston on that play. So now at Decatur Central, I think this might be the first time they sent out four wide receivers tonight, three to the right, one left, very low snap, and now put a lot of pressure in it. He throws it away. All right. So barring an unlikely going for it or fake, we will get the ball back there with a chance to take the lead. So we put some good pressure on Polston those last couple of plays. Decatur Central only led once. It lasted less than 2 minutes. Not much pressure on the punter this time. And it bounces up to 25, 20, 15, takes a roll inside the 10. And it's down to about the 6 or 7 or so. So Plainfield will take over. And for some reason, they have not stopped the clock. It's a good 6 or 7 seconds have run off since the play was, it's still going, yeah. Yeah, now then, a minute, I'm not sure what's going on here. I mean, I think, and now one of the, somebody in the Plainfield clock is, somebody on the Plainfield sideline is pointing it out and is talking to the official. So now the officials are deliberating. They're just trying to figure out how much time is left on the clock. So, and it looks like they're going to resume play without the, I don't know why it, when I saw the Plainfield coach addressing the, they put back up, moved it to 103, but there should be at least 20 seconds more than that. This is crazy. So now, Quakers now backed up close to their one, and looks like they got about five or six there. Luke Starnes. So second down now and 7. And now handoff to looks like Starnes again, and he's got some momentum, and he's got up close to, looks like he's up close to the first down. So it's going to be third and short here. Now 23 seconds to go in the third quarter, but again, the clock ran for about 30 seconds after that punt, and only about 10 seconds were put back on. And now it looks like Plainfield might be content just to run off the rest of the clock. 10, 9, yeah, that's what they're doing. So we enter the fourth quarter here. Too close for comfort at Decatur Central. Plainfield and Decatur Central tied at 23. We'll be back with the thrilling, tense conclusion after these words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. We would like to thank our sponsors who made tonight's broadcast of Plainfield Football on AudioSportsOnline.com possible. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Ganell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design, and Holly Porter, my IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D BBQ. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Southwest Indianapolis, where we've got a very tense barn burner of a game brewing, heading into the fourth quarter, your Plainfield Quakers are tied with the arch-rival Decatur Central Hawks by a score of 23-9. It's a game in which Plainfield seemed to have a pretty good grip on it, with 23-9 lead. I'm sorry, the score is 23-23 now, but Plainfield had a 23-9 lead. And then when Decatur Central went for a punt, Plainfield was called for roughing the kicker, and then the Hawks scored on that drive in their next one to take a tie the game, excuse me. And now Luke Starnes on a short rush just got enough for the first down. So the Quakers do move the chains. That's a good start here to the fourth quarter. Plainfield lost 13 consecutive games to Decatur Central, including four in the playoffs from 2013 to 2021. Then the Quakers beat the Hawks twice last year, including once in the sectional championship game. Now, handoff there, and Starnes gets like maybe a couple. So Starnes has been not shut down, but certainly contained tonight by this Hawks defense. So they said no gain. I thought he got a little bit. But anyway, so the Quakers now, second and 10 at their own 15. Two receivers to the right now. So now screen pass is complete, and he breaks the tackle, and then he gets over to the right side of the field, but doesn't pick up much. So it's going to be third and long. Brandon Hendry there on the short reception. He had his first varsity touchdown last week in the big win over Greenwood after getting several 2-point conversions this year. They said no gain. So now a very high pressure third and 10 for Plainfield. They've completed two deep passes on third and long tonight. They could sure use one right now. Two receivers deep side, one running back, Newell in shotgun. Takes it, looks back, and throws over to Vanderbush. He's got it for the completion and the first down. Yes. Knocked out of balance a little past the 30. All right. That's the kind of play we needed. And getting us a little further downfield to pick up stuff 17 yards there. Well, that's why Vanderbush is on his way to play Division 1A ball next year at Western Michigan. And Newell should be on his way to play college ball somewhere. He's having a very, very effective senior season. Not flashy numbers, but very solid numbers and just smart, effective play for a team that's now number 4 in their class. So now, handoff, and he's out for about 3 or 4. That's Starnes there. And, you know, getting in a couple more complete passes should open some more doors for Starnes, too. So that's the gain there of about 4. So second and 6 for the Quakers. And as long as we can keep moving the ball, it's okay if it takes a lot of time, as long as we get that score. So now we've got Miller and Vanderbush out to the left, out to the right, Bowie to the left. One running back, Newell, still there in shotgun. Takes it. And now pitch over to Vanderbush. Doesn't get much out of it, though. It's going to be several yards short of the first down. So, 8, they said no gain. So, 8:47 now, that'll bring up 3rd and 6. Clock is ticking. Two receivers deep side now, one running back. Newell in shotgun. Takes it. And now, screen pass. And, oh, he had it, but he dropped it. That, Miller, the intended receiver, he had it at the 45. He just didn't get the grip on it, so that'll bring up 4th and 6. So what will the Quakers do now? The punting unit comes onto the field now. The clock stops with 8:28 to go. Game's still tied. At least we did get 2 first downs on that drive. We moved from the 2 up to the 36. So it's not quite as, you know, precarious a position from which to punt. The punt. And fair catch, called for, and now he doesn't get it, and it's a live ball, and it's a, let's see who got it. Decatur Central did get it, but boy, I thought it touched the guy who called for the fair catch, which means it would have been a live ball, but, nevertheless, the Decatur Central taking over at their own 30, so we just gotta get a stop here. 9:17 your time of day, so it looks like we're not gonna get out of here for at least a good while. .8:25 to go, Decatur Central taking over. They've scored touchdowns on their last 2 possessions to tie it. We gotta get a stop here. And now, hand off to Dodo. He's got room on the left side. And he's up close to the first down. He might have it. I think he does. Knocked out of bounds around the 43 or 44. No, he's just about a yard shy. Oh, 8, they said. 8 minutes even to go. So now let's see, we got Richmond and Barry lined up to the right. One receiver to the left, Dodo the running back, Tolson in shotgun. Takes it, hands off to Dodo again, and he doesn't get a lot, but I think he did get the 2 yards he needed for the first down. Or did he? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So they are moving the chains now. So, 1st and 10 for the Hawks at their own 41. The clock will stop. No, they didn't stop the clock to move the chains either. So, the scoreboard management not real good tonight for Decatur Central. Hopefully that will not change the outcome of the game. So now Richmond out to the right, one receiver out to the left. I formation here. And now pitch back. And now they hit him at the line of scrimmage and he's brought down immediately for, I believe, no gain, maybe even a slight loss. So it's going to be 2nd and long now. Dodo again, the ball carrier. .6:50 to go in counting. They got him down for -1. All right. These 2 teams went to overtime last year. I do not want to go to overtime tonight. It's 2 tenths. So 1 receiver at each side now. 1 running back, Holston in shotgun. And now we got a timeout here. First timeout, and that's Decatur Central takes the timeout. So with that, we'll take a short pause for a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with the thrilling conclusion. Decatur Central and Plainfield tied at 23. 6:31 to go here on AudioSportsOnline.com. We would like to thank our sponsors for making tonight's broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com possible. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Ganell Financial, Remax Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Southwest Indianapolis, your Plainfield Quakers are in an extremely tense, extremely close game with their Decatur Central, with their arch rival Decatur Central Hawks. The score is 23-23 with 6:31 to go in the 4th quarter. Decatur Central has the ball at their own 42nd and 11. The Packers led 23-9 before a penalty, a roughing the kicker penalty on a punt changed the momentum. And now, Holston drops it back. He throws deep, and it is dropped. Oh, he fell down. I think he wanted a pass interference, didn't get it. Barry was the intended receiver, so now 3rd and 11. No excuse for not getting him off the field here, boys. 6:24 to go. Clock stopped. So, just got to stop him from getting the first down. Or even getting close enough that they'd go for it on fourth. So, kicks to the left. Richmond and one other receiver to the right, one running back. And now Holston is under pressure, throws deep. And now he's, it's incomplete. Incomplete, so 4th and 11. And it looked like the intended receiver was once again Barry, and it looked like Barry just wasn't sure where the ball was. Holston's deep throwing has not been very good tonight, but he did complete 2 long passes for touchdowns, one of them a 36-yarder on 4th and 10. He's only a sophomore. He's going to be a good one. So now, the punt, and he has to back up to get it, and it looks, and now it makes a playing field bounce, and so the Decatur Central downs it around the 13. It hit around the 10, then wins a few yards back. So, 6:14 to go, playing field takes over. The game tied about 87 yards shy of the end zone. Let's do this, boys. Let's do it. Playoff-type atmosphere here. We've pretty well filled the visiting bleachers here, and also we have a lot of people in the standing room, about 500 Quaker fans here. Not quite, the bleachers not quite full into the home side. Probably got about, 2,000 fans or so for Decatur Central. They've had a couple of down years after that glorious stretch they had for about 6 or 7 years, including a trip to the Class 5A State Championship game in 2018. Now starting off the drive, a pass there to Bowie, and he picks up about 5 or 6 there. Bowie's been the go-to guy for most of the game for Plainfield. 5:51 and counting. 2nd down and 4 to go. And now hands off, and now I think he's got the first down here on 2nd effort. He hit the ball, and then he made a very aggressive spin move and fell forward and got the first down. So 5:27 to go. The Quakers move the chains. They have the ball around the 25, 75 yards to go. Come on, boys. 3 receivers to the left, 2 to the right now. Handoff. Starnes gets about 3. Well, what I hope we do is just get down and score with, little time left for the Hawks to answer. We are tied now under five minutes to go. Ball on the 28, 2nd and 7. 2 receivers each side now. And now screen pass over to Vanderbush. And he's up and he's knocked out of bounds. I wish he'd stayed in bounds, but I think it's going to bring up about 3rd and 5. Very big 3rd down play. We do not want Decatur Central to get the ball with a chance not only to win the game, but basically to run down the clock, to very little and set up a game-winning field goal by Vogel, one of the best kickers in the state, who's hit from as far as 46 yards this year. So now 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Takes it. Newell, he's got a completion, and he dropped it. He dropped it. He had his hands on it, but he dropped it. Threw it to Bowie, but just didn't get the grip. So a very precarious position that the Quakers are in here. Cameron Grimes drops back to punt. 4:37 to go. Man, I do not want overtime here. They're going for the block. Gets the punt away. And now takes a very long Quaker bounce inside the 20. Down about the 16. So that's about a 56-yard punt there. So that's good. So that, you know, certainly gives Decatur Central with two timeouts a much harder way to go. But I was prepared for them to get the ball somewhere around the 50. Mainly what we've got to do right now, I mean, if we can get a turnover, that's great. But most of all, we just got to take away the big play. Take away the big play. I really don't want to play for overtime. Overtime is just such a crapshoot. But I really want to get the ball back with a chance to just win it in regulation. So one receiver at each side. And now a pulse. Now he takes it up himself. He's got some room over on the right side past the 30. He runs out of bounds around the 35. Oh, no. So about a 19-yard rush there by Bo Polston. So that's the first down. They mark him at the 34, and the clock stops with 4:25 to go. So I was hoping at least we'd stop him in bounds, but now all of a sudden the Hawks, 66 yards from the end zone, much more manageable than the, at least fairly more manageable than the 84. So two receivers now to the left, one to the right, one running back. Polston in shotgun, Dodo the running back. Gives it to Dodo, and he's got the room on the left side. Oh, no, we've got to stop him. Two men to beat, and he's inside the 40 up to about the 36. And now what I'm really concerned about is that, and they mark him at the 37. It's a pickup of almost 30 yards. But what I'm concerned about now is that that Decatur Central will just run out. They'll get inside the 20 or so in chip shot range for Vogel and set up a game-winning field goal for him and just run the clock down to as close to zero as possible. We've got to stop that. So we've got to get, we got to get aggressive here. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. Low snap. And yes, we got him perfectly timed. Oh, no. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought Polston did get, he faked the handoff beautifully, Scott Amor style. And I apologize for that. I thought we had him. So Polston's handoff faked me out. Scott Amor, the Danville option quarterback, the best handoff faker I've ever seen. He ruined a lot of my calls when I was a rookie, and now Bo Polston in my 12th year just ruined one. So anyway, so it's a second down and short for the Hawks. And now a low snap. But now we got it for the sack, yes. We did get him for the sack that time, I promise. So all of a sudden, second and short turns into third and long. All right. 3 minutes to go. Now we got to, hopefully get a minute. Right now, this would be about a 54-yard field goal. I doubt that Vogel's range is quite that good. But now, third and nine, fans stomping on the bleachers here on the Quaker side. Come on. Let's just, get a stop here, if not a turnover. And now we got a movement at the line and the flag. Offsides against Plainfield. So now third and nine turns to third and four. That is not good. And now there's a better chance that we're in Vogel's range. Snell, two receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back. Low snap, but he gets it over to Dodo. He breaks and we stop him short. We stop him short. I think we got him for a loss there, so it's going to be fourth down. And they have the ball now at the 32. So it's going to be fourth down and about five. So Plainfield has taken, Plainfield just took its first time out, 1:48 to go, game tied at 23. So Decatur Central, they could go for it. They are in four down territory. This will be a 49-yard field goal attempt. Vogel has hit from 46 this year, and he's 9 of 11, also hit a 40-yarder tonight. So for those of you just joining us, we are tied at 23, with 1:48 to go in this game between Plainfield and Decatur Central. Decatur Central now has the ball fourth down and five at their, at the Plainfield. It says 37 on the scoreboard, but it's 32. The scoreboard operator has not been perfect tonight. So they're going for a 49-yard field goal. This would be for the lead. Vogel, again, one of the best kickers in the state. His longest three, just 3 yards shorter than this. And now it's going to be close. He hit it. But there's a flag. So let's see what the college got. A couple of officials discussing it. Vogel has just hit a 49-yard field goal, which would be the longest of the season by 3 yards. Also hit a 40-yarder earlier tonight that gave Decatur Central its first lead. The lead lasted less than 2 minutes before the Quakers took the lead back on a possession, on a touchdown on their ensuing possession. Running into the kicker is the call. So the field goal does count. So Decatur Central, So now Plainfield will take over with two timeouts left. Two timeouts left to save the game. Certainly Decatur Central has waited about 46 or so weeks to play this game since we stuck that dagger through their heart in the sectional championship game last year. They thought they had the sectional one. Then we scored on that 19-yard touchdown pass with 1.3 seconds left to win it. And now this is where, the scoreboard operator comes into play, because, like I said, they ran off about 30 seconds after that last Decatur Central touchdown, and then only put about 10 back on. So Plainfield, 1:43 to go right now. We would love to have those extra 20 seconds. Hopefully it won't make a difference in the outcome of the game. But anyway, the kickoff should go into the end zone for the touchback. It does. So Plainfield, 80 yards. 1:43 to go, 80 yards. A field goal to tie, touchdown to win. But the Quakers just have not moved the ball consistently enough tonight. And, you know, these penalties, you know, the penalties are really the biggest story of the game, besides not sustaining drives. Playing field at their best moments have been awesome, but they just haven't had enough big plays. So now we've got Rivera and Miller out to the left. Now Vanderbush moves right. And now Newell, and he throws it away. So I think Decatur Central is just going to be trying to take away the big play, and then if you know, Plainfield does, you know, get a good gain, try to keep them in bounds. The Quakers with two timeouts left, 136 to go now. So two receiver seats right now, one running back, Newell and shotgun. A very big second and 10 now. Starnes goes in motion. Now, Newell, he's got a completion, and he said he was dropped. Okay, I couldn't tell because it's on the other side of the field, and again, we're not very high off the ground up here. So this is a harder game to commentate than I'm accustomed to. I estimate I'm only about a fourth as high off the ground as I am back at Plainfield. But he threw it to Rivera, and he dropped it. So now Miller and Rivera out to the right. Two receivers to the left. Very big third down. Now Newell throws deep to Vanderbush. And it's under double coverage. Incomplete. The Plainfield fans wanted pass interference. Did not get it. We got a flag. I hope it is not unsportsmanlike conduct. That's likely what it is, but. So we got some officials deliberating now, but. And so we're waiting to see what the ruling is, but it is going to be against Plainfield. Based on, you know, how long, hold on, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Wow, look at him. The absolute love of them. Wow. United States should be absolutely offended by them.
So now your Plainfield Quakers now fourth, and now we've got, and now Plainfield, I believe, just took a timeout here. 1:25 to go. It says 4th and 50 to go on. The thing of this scoreboard is so bad. This scoreboard, I mean, this scoreboard operator, you know, has not been good tonight. It says, I mean, there have been quite a few mistakes, and I apologize for the mistakes that's caused in my commentary or when it sounded like I wasn't sure. It's not that I'm not paying attention, it's that they are not updating the scoreboard a lot of the time, or they're updating it improperly. So the scoreboard operator, this is my 125th varsity game, and I think this might be the worst scoreboard operation I've ever seen. So now Rivera, Bowie, and one other receiver out to the right. One other to the left. I believe Starnes is in there at running back. I think it's 4th and 25. I'm going to have to estimate by what I can see from my vantage point since the scoreboard is not correct. Okay. So 4th and 20, okay. So now? And that's it. So, it's incomplete. I'm not sure what... I guess they were just trying to, you know, get a slant pattern, hopefully he could get to the 30, but now Plainfield was, and I think Plainfield has used two timeouts. It says on the clock that they have, I thought they only had one left. It says they have two, but this scoreboard operator is so inept tonight, I have no idea. So, nevertheless, Decatur Central apparently will win this game. They take over at the Plainfield 10, 120 to go. I think Plainfield, so will Plainfield use the timeout? Not so far, they haven't. So Plainfield will apparently suffer its first loss of the season. It will not be without controversy. And, you know, I always say, there's nothing wrong with losing. There's everything wrong with losing for the wrong reasons. You know, I don't complain a lot about officiating, but there were some questionable calls tonight. And, you know, I don't know how many people got video of them, but, you know, if anybody who did, I hope we'll post it online and let the fans judge for themselves. And so Paulson kneels again, and they, I don't believe, have to, no, well... okay, so Bolson takes one more knee, and that's it. So, your Plainfield Quakers, this is the happiest I've ever seen them be to beat Plainfield, but after the two losses last year, this feels good to them. So your Quakers have their first setback of the season. They lose to the Decatur Central Hawks, their arch rival, by a score of 26-23, the first loss of the Tyler Bless era. The team's now shaking hands, and Plainfield will have to regroup for next week's home game against the Franklin Grizzly Cubs. We'll be back with a recap, final statistics, and a look ahead to next week's game against Franklin after these final words from our sponsors. We would like to thank our sponsors who made tonight. We would like to thank our sponsors who made tonight's broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football on AudioSportsOnline.com possible. They are CJ's Pizza, Whitlow's Towing, Gunnell Financial, Greenback Centerstone Julia Burbridge, Midwest Pizza, BGW Construction, Porter Hair Design Holly Porter, My IT Indy, I-70 Record Service and Garage, Ellison Associates Remax, Chipotle, and Double D Barbecue. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Southwest Indianapolis for a final time tonight, where your Plainfield Quakers have suffered their first loss of the season and their first loss of the Tyler Bless era with a 26-23 game against their arch-rival Decatur Central Hawks. It's a game that was up and down from the start, in which both teams struggled to sustain drives. However, in the second half, one penalty changed the momentum, just like Plainfield's fake punt did in the Greenwood win last week, and also a few controversial calls or no calls contributed as well to the outcome of the game. Okay, pulling up a stat sheet here. With 7:21 to go in the first quarter, Plainfield on third and long scored first on an 84-yard touchdown pass from Steven Vanderbush to Hunter Newell. Cameron Grimes hit the extra point, making it 7-0. Then with 10:32 to go in the second quarter, Decatur Central got its first score on an 8-yard rush by Casey Berry. And the extra point was blocked, so Plainfield did retain the lead at 7-6. Then, with 2:03 to go in the second quarter, Vogel hit a 40-yard field goal, making the score 9-7, but their lead would be short-lived as with 10 seconds to go in the quarter. Hunter Newell threw a 1-yard touchdown pass to Jameer Bowie, and Elijah Flowers hit the 2-point conversion on a rush, giving Plainfield a 15-9 lead that took us into halftime, and the score was set up by a 39-yard pass from Newell to Isaiah Miller, that brought us from it was on third and twelve. Newell threw 39 yards to Miller, getting us to the 20, and then 17 yards to Bowie to get us to the 3. And then in the second half, Plainfield started off well with a 1-yard touchdown rush by Luke Starnes. He's now scored at least one touchdown in every game of the season, scored 9 touchdowns on the season. That was with 9:34 to go in the third quarter. Brandon Hendry hit a 2-point conversion, and Plainfield had a seemingly comfortable 23-9 lead. Then on Decatur Central's ensuing possession, they were in punt formation to get they were in punt formation, and Plainfield was going to get the ball with a chance to take a 3-possession lead. However, they were called for roughing the punter, and then there was a pass interference penalty later on that drive. And it culminated with Decatur Central scoring a touchdown on a 40-yard pass from Bo Polston to Chris Richmond. And Vogel hit the extra point, cutting the lead to 23-16. Then on their next possession, on Plainfield's ensuing possession, they went for it they went for a fake punt that failed, and Decatur Central took over at the Plainfield 36, and after getting no yards on the first 3 plays, then with 3:18 to go in the third quarter, Polston threw a 35-yard pass to Casey Berry, and Vogel's extra point tied the game at 23. Then finally in the fourth quarter, after both teams failed to move drives and after both teams failed to sustain drive, and Plainfield was called for a few more controversial penalties, including a no-call on a deep pass to Caden Vanderbush, in which he was under double coverage, and there seemed to be quite a bit of contact. Decatur Central got the ball back, milked a lot of the clock, and then took the lead on a 49-yard field goal from Vogel. His second field goal of the game, the first came from 40. So 2 40-plus yard field goals from Vogel in this game, and he's only a junior. And that gave Decatur Central the lead 26-23. Then on Plainfield's ensuing possession, they all had another controversial no-call on pass interference that led to an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that let back Plainfield up. So they were facing 4th and 20 from their own 10, and then their final play was an incomplete pass, and then Decatur Central ran out the clock. A look at the individual statistics first of all for Plainfield. Hunter Newell completed 17 of 33 passes for 191 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. So still no interceptions through 2/3 of the regular season for Newell, versus 8 touchdowns. Shouldn't be in college ball a year from now. On receiving, Jameer Bowie had 9 receptions. However, they only went for 50 yards. He did get a touchdown. Caden Vanderbush had 4 receptions for 98 yards and a touchdown. Isaiah Miller had 3 for 43. On the ground, disappointing game. The Quakers did not get 100 yards. Luke Starnes was our best rusher.
He went a modest 19 for 42, however, did get a touchdown. But as it had his lowest statistical game of the season. Hunter Newell had some good moments on the ground. He rushed 5 times for 34 yards, including a 26-yarder that got us down to the set up our second touchdown. And then Weston Way, Rich went 1 for 3. Alex Bolsquaw 1 for 2. Meanwhile, for Decatur Central, Bo Polson had a very oddly mixed game. He completed only 6 of 22 passes, but they did go for 102 yards, 2 touchdowns, and only 1 interception. On receiving, Chris Richmond was the leading receiver with 3 receptions for 52 yards and a touchdown, followed by Casey Berry, who had 1 for 35 and a touchdown. Napo Dodo had 1 for 12, and Halbert Aguirre had 1 for 3. On rushing, Dodo led the way with 18 for 97. Aguirre had 5 for 56. Holston had 5 for 43, and Casey Berry had 6 for 22 and a touchdown. So in conclusion, this is a game in which Plainfield had a chance to win. I believe they would have if not for that roughing the kicker call. I think even had we not scored on being two in possession, if we had run off a few minutes, then when Decatur Central got the ball back, they likely would have, you know, been in a hurry-up mode. They likely would have been throwing a lot more passes than they wanted to, and we would have just been in a position where we had to take away the big play, which I think we could have done. Certainly, the roughing the kicker call and then the pass interference call later on that drive changed the momentum. That was unfortunate. But at the same time, regardless of the calls, Plainfield also just, you know, our receivers had a hard time getting open, and Decatur Central played very good rushing defense. They played the best rushing defense that, you know, has been played against us this year. And, you know, obviously they knew about Starnes' 4 touchdowns last week, and they came up with a game plan to stop him. And they contained him. Like I said, you know, 19 for 52. Not bad, but certainly not what we're accustomed to seeing from him. So, you know, as for the questionable calls, I hope, I know that a lot of people film these games and post clips online. I hope you all can catch some of the clips and catch some of the calls or no calls and make up your own mind. Several of them did not look good to me. As far as the unsportsmanlike conduct, you know, gosh, you know, I try not to be too judgmental about those because they're often very subjective. And sometimes they can even be based on misinterpretation. But nevertheless, there were some questionable calls that I hope as many of you as possible get to see and make up your own mind. And hopefully the IHSAA will get to see and make up their own minds. And it'll be interesting to see what Coach Bless says about it on his show. But nevertheless, Plainfield, despite that, you know, they did not make as many big plays as they needed to. They did not put the game away when they had the chance. Was it all of it then? No, not all of it. But there were some mistakes that, you know, Coach Bless will look at. And, you know, mistakes are a lot easier to watch on the video when you win than when you lose, so it's going to be less pleasant tonight. But, you know, the good news is we've got 3 games left to tune up for the playoffs. The playoffs don't start for more than another month. They start 5 weeks from tonight. So we still have a lot of time to polish up things. And what I think is going to happen is Coach Bless, you know, is going to figure out the things that we did wrong. I mean, the officiating we can't control, but we can't control how we play. And I think what Coach Bless is going to do is figure out what did we do wrong in this game that had we done differently, the outcome might have been different. We might have pulled out the win. And here's the thing. A disappointing loss can either be the best thing or the worst thing that's ever happened to you. I'm telling you right now, this game can be the best thing that's ever happened to this team if they'll let it be. If they come back mad as hell, determining to fix what went wrong in this game and come back and just run the tables the rest of the way, and then if we face Decatur Central in the playoffs, you know, turn the tables on them the way that they turned the tables on us tonight for the two wins we had against them last year. And keep in mind, last year we lost to Harrison in week two, then beat them in the first round of the playoffs, you know, 9 weeks later. So, you know, disappointing loss. It should make us angry, but it shouldn't make us hang our heads. It should not make us hang our heads. You know, it's like, you know, that expression, don't get mad, get even. Well, actually, do get mad and do get even, actually. Because if you're mad, then you're going to work harder to get even. So, you know, the thing is, looking at it realistically, we could have lost to Harrison. We could have lost to Perry Meridian. Those were one-point wins. If it had not been for the fake punt, we might have lost to Greenwood, even though we did, you know, after we captured the momentum, run off 24 points to close out of the game. So we could have come into tonight 3-2 or 2-3. The Decatur Central came in at 3-2. We could have come in maybe just barely in the top 15 rather than at number 4. So now, what we've got to do is learn from this. You know, and here's the thing. One thing I was concerned about is after all the close wins that we pulled out, I didn't want our kids to think that close wins are always going to be available. I mean, when you can get them, great, but you've got to be able to, avoid close games if you can. You got to put the game away early if you can. And don't even give the team a thought about possibly coming back. So, what we got to do, you know, and maybe having watched this game, maybe the kids will listen a little more closely in practice. Maybe they'll think, gee, you know, we better execute like this all the time for all 48 minutes, because if we don't, we might not get the comeback next time that we have in some of our earlier games. So maybe they'll be more on guard now. And remember, like I said, earlier this season, I go back to Avon's undefeated regular season in 2019. They had several very close games, but they kept pulling them out, and then they got into a tough situation. The playoffs didn't know how to get out of it, and they lost in the first round. And that was a team that was number one in the last 8 AP polls that year. They lost to their, you know, cross-county rival, the team they'd beaten during the regular season, Brownsburg. And, you know, another example, when I commentated the Cascade girls basketball team in the 2016-2017 season, they were legitimate contenders for the class 2A state championship. And in their next-to-last regular season game, they came back from 19 down at Avon, a 4A team. Cascade's a 2A team. Avon 4A. Cascade came back from 19 down to win that game. And then they got in the playoff game against a team they'd beaten by 22 in the regular season, South Putnam, and they came out blitzing us on defense like we didn't know what hit us, and we didn't know how to get out of it. We lost by 11. And, you know, in the first playoff game, so it really squandered a dream season. Just squandered a dream season. Or like I said, we would have probably at least gotten to the semi-state that year, if not further. And I think that after we, you know, came back from 19 down to beat Avon on the road, you know, the girls thought they were always going to be able to pull off the comeback. And then they got, you know, they played a team that came up, they played a team that had a winning game plan and just, you know, stuck it to us. And we didn't know how to get out of it. But the good news is that the season is not over. This game is over, but the season isn't. And we can come back next week and start the healing process. And the healing begins next week when we return home to play the Franklin Grizzly Cubs team that we dominated for many years, but we actually beat Franklin 20 of 22 games from 1997 to 2018, but now they've rebounded under head coach Chris Cole, the former Tri-West coach who led the Bruins to the Class
3A state championship in 2014. He's got that program turned around, and they've won three of the last four against us, including the last two at Plainfield. So hopefully we'll break that streak next week. Basically, Plainfield entering tonight was 3-2 and ranked number 13 here in Class 5A. They opened the season at home with a 42-3 win over New Albany. Then they lost 41-38 at Mount Vernon. In Fort Belden, they won at Perry Meridian 26-20 in overtime. Then they also came back home and beat Whitelands 22-21 before losing last week 32-14 at Martinsville, currently the 16th-ranked team in Class 4A. Now, this year, Franklin does not have a lot of passing offense. They split the quarterbacking duties between senior Clay Panic and sophomore Grayson Betts, who combined for a mere 378 yards through the air, just 75.6 per game. But they do have a superstar running back in senior Alex Lugers, who has 111 rushes for 716 yards and 8 touchdowns, while aforementioned quarterback Panic is also very effective on the ground with 51 rushes for 342 yards and 3 touchdowns, and senior Caleb Owens has 14 rushes for 111 yards and 1 touchdown. So anyway, hope you all will get out there tonight. We're supposed to have a high temperature of 79, great weather for week 7, so get out there and basically get out there, let's fill the crowd with about 3 or 4,000 crazed Quaker fans, make a lot of noise and tell the kids that you still believe in them and you're still standing by them even after this loss tonight, and just basically, you know, pat them on the back, tell them, hey, just shake this off, you know, learn from it, and come back mad as hell, playing better than ever next week. You know, maybe this will motivate us, maybe this loss will motivate us to come back tonight and play just 48 great minutes, which is what I wanted to see all year. We've had some games where we came close, especially at Mooresville, but we haven't done all 48 yet, so maybe this will motivate us to do that. So, anyway, disappointing loss, but not a devastating loss, and just maybe we'll get even in the playoffs when it counts most and beat Decatur Central in the playoffs like we did last year. So, anyway, I know there's several plays that are going to live from this game in our minds negatively, and we just got to remember them and make sure we do better next time, and make sure that next time when we have them in position to win the game, we finish it off. And, you know, we just grab them by the throat and don't let go. Figuratively, not literally, of course. So, once again, your final score here tonight at Southwest Indianapolis, Decatur Central 26, Plainfield 23. The Hawks get their second consecutive win and rise to 4-2, while the Quakers get their first loss of the season and the first loss of the Tyler Bless era and drop to 5-1. Well, this concludes our broadcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me, and I cordially invite you to do so again 1 week from tonight at about 6:45 p.m. for the pregame show as your Plainfield Quakers try to get back on track as they challenge the Franklin Grizzly Cubs. Until then, for AudioSportsOnline.com, this is Lex Zorn reminding you, there is a difference only you can make.